listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.
You are all about to get on this record. Getting to be a strange place. A lot of crazy things are happening. A lot of questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces that you're going to get from one man right here on The Big Puzzle with your host, the one and only man from Canada, Mr. Barry Ritz.
Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies, to the Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name's Barry Prince. I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia. I'm being broadcast through People's Internet Radio, ShakeAndWakeRadio.com, and the Truth Be Told Radio Network. I always start my show off, guys, with a plug for the networks. A lot of work goes on behind the scenes. These people don't get paid for it, but if we could throw out a couple bucks every month, it would help them with the stream costs, so they're not paying that out of their pocket, and I know some of them are. So if you appreciate what we're doing, please try and even a cup of coffee every month would be much appreciated by the people that are operating these stations. And I always like to start my show off thanking my producer, because I always end up forgetting at the end of the show. So thanks, Steve, for putting up with me every week and doing what you do, buddy. You are a blessing to me. Anyways, it's great to have my friend back, a man that, you know, anybody that's listened to my shows over the years, heard him talk many, many times. Great to have him back on. Of course, I'm talking about the Duracell Bunny, or more commonly known as Roger Landry. Welcome back, Roger. Always great to have you back on, my friend.
Well, ditto.
I'm sorry, I gotta get the Duracell Bunny in there, buddy, because it's so fitting. But you go right ahead, because I know we got lots to talk about today. And like I said, it's always great having you back in.
Well, I appreciate being here, and I just would like to open up today. And no, really, let me go back to that for a second. It is the platforms that TLB Project and myself are offered that allow us to get the word out. I can't do a weekly show like I used to. I wish I could. I haven't got the time, and it's just beyond my scope at this point. But being offered a platform such as yours, Barry, where I can get information out and I can dispute lies, misinformation, and disinformation, that is invaluable. But it all focuses back to one thing, okay? If social media was doing what it promised, if, I don't know, Facebook was doing what it promised, everybody out there needs to understand that when Facebook or social media was initially born, it was born under the, you know, under the idea that we all needed a place where we could go and talk. We all needed a place where we could communicate. We needed a place where we could share ideas and we could share beliefs. This was the origination of Facebook. I know I was there. I don't mean I was there when it was created, but I was there when it hit the public. This was then sold to us about a year and a half, 2 years later, as a platform that allowed you freedom of speech. If something was wrong in your community and needed to be addressed, you socialize with those people, you form a group, you talk about it, you get things settled, you get things done. This is what it was sold to us for. And as it expanded, it was made to include local businesses. Believe it or not, Joe Biden's mandate that any company with over 100 employees has to have them vaccinated is only a very small percentage, less than 5% of the total U.S. workforce. 95% of the U.S. workforce is either self-employed or works for a company with 100 or less, or 99 or less employees. This is what made America great. It's the small business, not the big business. This is what actually dragged America out of the Stone Age. It was the mom and pop businesses, and to this day, it still is. But you stop and look at the power of the big corporations. You stop and look at the power of social media and big tech. Facebook has, some would say, as little as 1.5 billion. Some say it's slightly over 2 billion members. That's the largest communications mechanism in the history of the planet. And with that comes power to corrupt elections, to corrupt minds, to sway opinions of large bodies of people. I could go on and on. It turned into a God-saving grace for we the people into one of our biggest enemies. Today, and here's where this all fits, if you want to talk about the truth, because we're living in the biggest tyranny this planet has ever seen, don't little this. Don't make it small. Don't say, Roger, you're overstating it. I'm not. We're talking about something that is killing people all across the planet. We're talking about deaths that are already in the millions, and by the time this is done, if it goes according to plan, it will be responsible for the largest kill-off in the entire history of the planet. And I'm going to tell you something. It's a bold statement, but you better do some research. All of the deaths by war that have ever occurred in the entire history of this planet, add them all together, and you won't have a number equal to the amount of people that are going to die from the COVID-19 vaccine, or what is called the COVID-19. But I can't say that on Facebook. I can't tell you that, even though I can pretty much prove it statistically. I can't say that on Twitter. I can't say that on YouTube. You want me to continue? What the hell we needed was a platform where you could still exercise your freedom of speech. That has limits. It always does. You can't say things illegal. You can't sell kids. You can't tell people you're going to kill them. But anything can be said respectfully. Anything. So the freedom of speech means you can go to TLVtalk.com. That's right. That's our, meaning yours and mine when I say our. That's our platform. You know how much corporate money is in that platform? Not $1. You're hearing people like Trump and the pillow guy, Mike Lindell, bragging about the $5 to $10 million they spent on their platform. Everybody here knows Roger ain't got even $1 million. But yet we have a platform up that'll rival any of theirs. This is of, by, and for we the people. You go in, and as long as what you're saying doesn't break the law, which will get us shut down, if you want to talk about vaccines, talk about them. If you want to talk about Joe Bob falling asleep at the wheel, talk about it. If you want to talk about the dumbing down of America and how our children's minds are literally being raped in what we call schools today, talk about it. Because you're not going to be able to talk about these things anywhere else. Why? This is the conditioning we all live under today, and America is more conditioned, believe it or not, it's a fact, than any other country on the planet. Today, most Americans won't talk about the COVID-19 vaccine. Why? Because they'll be put on break on Facebook. They won't talk about the fact that, I don't know, political tyranny was just committed when the following mandates were put in place. But they won't talk about that, even though it comes all the way down to affecting their own family. But they don't want to get kicked off Facebook, and they don't want their neighbors shunning them because the government says I'm a bad person because I happen to think the COVID vaccines are dangerous. We are all living in a world of censorship right now, and it goes – and I'm almost done, Barry. I need to take a breath soon anyway. It goes all the way back to those we elected to protect us and provide for us. And when I say provide, I mean safety, I mean education. This is their job, to make these things right, to make them work. It is not their job to rule over us. They are our servants. We are their bosses. But if you stop to look, it's Congress that went to big tech and said, if people start talking about this vaccine, you need to do something about it. Okay, these are the same people that went to big tech. and said, if they start talking about the president, you need to do something about it. What we have is an elected body, Congress, and a sitting president, Joe Bob, who are literally telling the media that they need to censor us. We elected them. Stop and think about what I just said. These are the people you fought to put in office, and they're stabbing you in the back so hard, and you don't really care. Most of you don't really care. This is what's happening today, and that's my opening statement, and I'll take a breath, Barry.
What? No, Roger. What's the matter with you? Hey, listen, you lied to me today, buddy. You Fine. Told me you were going to go 15 minutes without raising your voice today, bud. And we got that.
I told you I was joking. Recorded.
Oh, okay. Because me and Steve recorded that, and we had a little side bet going here.
Well, the thing of it is, you both know that that was physically impossible, which is why I said it'll be a cold day in, well, 80
seconds. Yeah, well, that was a gimme for me, man. I bet it against it, so there you go.
But anybody who wants to find out if what the way I talk and the way I deliver information is, I don't know, an act, a put-on, I will tell you that when I was 2 years old, my father jumped in my crap for being exactly the same way. When I wanted to get a point across, I got in your face with it. So I'm 67, which means that for the last 65 years, this has been the norm for me.
Well, I'm your elder, Roger, so remember that. You got to respect your elders, but
yeah, okay.
I've got you, what, by 15 days, I think it is. Yeah. You're the 19th, correct?
Yeah, I'm a Leo.
Yeah. That's one of the things that we've over the years, we've had conversations that actually, for two Leos having a conversation, we've done pretty good because we're both, according to our astrological backgrounds, we're supposed to be dominating people. But I don't think that's been the case with us over the years.
Oh, no, it actually is. It actually is 100%. We are dominating and domineering people. But the thing of it is, we do it within civilized limits.
I was talking about our conversations back and forth between you and me.
That's what I was talking about.
Okay. Well, they've gone pretty good. Hey, Roger, real quick, I was going to ask you off the air. What was the name of that show that you and me did there years ago together? We were doing a weekly show. What was the name of that? Do you remember?
Off the top of my head, I don't.
Okay. I was just wondering.
I've only had a billion
I didn't want to get off subject there, but it was something I wanted to ask you today. Cause I remember we were doing that. It must have been about 6 or 7 years ago.
Between 7 and 8 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. We should, I know you don't have time to do that, but we get you in every couple of weeks because I know you got lots of good things to talk about. I love your president down there. I just love what he's doing to your country, Roger. I can't believe that this man is doing all these great things for America. I mean, he's just an incredible individual. And articulate his speech, buddy. When he talks, it's just like it's magical. You know what I mean, Roger?
Anybody out there remember the Bizarro world in the Superman comics where everything was exactly the opposite of what was reality, including the beings? What Barry just said came straight out of the Bizarro world, okay? Now, let me give it to you a little bit straighter, okay, and a little bit less bizarre. No, I can't make it less bizarre. Actually, I'm probably going to make it more bizarre. We have a president right now who, when asked by the French why, okay, because he was talking to French leaders, why they had deserted France or pulled contracts in Australia away from France, the United States had, and taken their place and blah, blah. Joe Biden had to admit he didn't know anything about that. Not only that, but in a discussion, Joe Bob was telling everybody about how the vaccinated couldn't get anybody else sick. So it's the enemy of the world is the unvaccinated. What Joe Bob isn't aware of, and his own CDC and FDA, and I could go on with all the alphabet soup you want, are not only aware of, they have stated publicly, is that COVID vaccines, and they're not vaccines, they're a gene therapy, but that's what everybody calls them, so we'll call them that, or jabs. Okay, Barry, where do you think I'm going with this?
Well, I really
want to bring Go ahead. Tell me.
I know where you're going, Roger. Continue. You do a better job at explaining it than I will, but I know exactly where you're going with this. Go ahead.
If you stop and consider that Joe Bob was in front of a crowd telling people they need to get the COVID vaccine so that not only would they not get it, but at the same time, they couldn't be a carrier and pass it on to anybody else. Mm. He didn't say it in all those words. He's not capable of that type of an intellectual sentence. But that's basically what he said. The fact remains that his own health agencies have put out unequivocally that the COVID-19 vaccine, the SARS-CoV-2 gene therapy, does not have the capability to keep you from getting the virus. You're going to get it. It does not have the capability to keep you from giving it to somebody if you've got it. You're going to give it. The only thing this thing does, listen to me and go look it up. The only thing this faux vaccine does, because it's not a vaccine by this very definition, is keep you from feeling so bad when you get COVID. Listen to me. Every single vaccine in the history of vaccines was developed under the premise that we take the virus you have, the virus that's going around, and we put it with a few other chemicals in a measured amount that will cause the body to increase the amount of antibodies to fight it. Once the body has developed these antibodies, anybody around you who's got that can't pass it on to you because you already have the weapons to defeat it.
Of course.
If you can still get it and you can still give it, but you just won't feel as bad, how the hell do you call this a vaccine? You can't. And let me shock you just a little bit more if that's possible. If you have a big old football game or a dance and say there's going to be 5,000 people there, and you know before you go there that you can't get in unless you've been vaccinated. You need a vaccine pass to get into this dance or this game or whatever. So you go in and you have your pass and you show it. And you know a vast majority of everybody else, unless they've got, you know, fake passes, has been vaccinated. Let me explain something to all of you out there. Right now, there are scientists screaming bloody murder that this has to be halted all across the planet. It is a fact that the vaccinated carry a much larger viral load than those who are unvaccinated. There's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. Okay. Now, what that means is everybody going into this dance has to show that they've been vaccinated. So what you've just done is put together 5,000 people with the highest viral load that you can possibly have. What you're going to end up with at the end of that is people who, if they didn't have enough viral load, they've got more. And if they weren't sick, they're going to be sick.
Sorry for laughing, Roger.
What you do is bring all the super spreaders together.
Together.
But yet you're telling people like you and me that if you've got that vaccine pass because you've been vaccinated, you're safe. No, you're twice as dangerous as a person who hasn't been vaccinated. That's an absolute fact. Also, in this country right now, and in Israel, and in the UK, and I think in Canada, more people are getting sick and dying that are fully vaccinated than are even close to the people who just have never been vaccinated.
Absolutely.
and died from COVID-19, which doesn't exist.
So now, those numbers, and you're correct. Go ahead, Roger.
If you stop to consider, I've got an article that I sent over to Barry about an organization that has done some really good research breaking apart VAERS numbers and other inputs. VAERS is a vaccine reporting system that is very inaccurate. As a matter of fact, VAERS themselves say that the numbers we have for SARS-CoV deaths related to the COVID-19 vaccine are about 16,000, 17,000 right about now. And that may represent only 10% or as low as 1% of the actual number. But that's not the number you see when you go there. You see 16,000. You don't see 160,000. You don't see 1.6 million. But if you read into their information deep enough, you find out that those are the possibilities because of the inaccuracies of the reporting system. The article that I'm talking about breaks this down statistically beyond what you can believe. And what they are stating is that there have been in excess, on the low end, 210,000 deaths in the United States, with as many as 6.3, listen to me, million people having severe reactions to that jab. Did you just hear what I said? Now, let me take this way back to 1975 when the H1N1 vaccine, one of them, hit the market. It killed 35 people. They immediately pulled it off the market. In the late just before the year 2000, I believe there was a second one that was responsible for 52 deaths. It was immediately pulled off the market. In the United States alone, if you do any research, if you even use the VAERS numbers, which are so ridiculously undercounted, it's insane. The real number, I believe, is close to a million. But if you take the VAERS numbers, that's like 16, 17,000. They pulled a vaccine because it killed 35 people. They pulled a vaccine because it killed 52 people. This one we know has literally killed millions across the entire globe because the numbers I'm giving you are only for the United States. If you stop to consider that, why haven't they shut it down? Barry, why are they still telling you get it or else? Why?
I ask myself that question every day, Roger. You know, it doesn't take much now for a person. We're supposed to be responsible adults. We're supposed to be vigilant to what we're doing to our own bodies. It's kind of our responsibility. And it doesn't take a lot of time right now that a person can actually go on the internet and look up some of the things that we're talking about today, roll it around in their brains and ask themselves if any of it makes any sense at all, because it does. It's not designed to make any sense. It's designed to control and make society into a complacent, compliant group of individuals that will question nothing the government says. And we see that in Canada in massive numbers still, unfortunately, Roger. But the good side of it is, my friend, I can honestly say now people are starting to talk a lot more than they were a few months ago. And I'm seeing that just in general conversations with people, you know, a couple of years ago were calling me a nutcase that, you know, what are you talking about? You're out of your flipping mind. Well, those people, believe it or not, buddy, are now starting to engage in conversations. Everybody knows something's messed up in Denmark. They just don't know how bad it is and what they can actually do about it. I hear it every day, Roger. I'm just one person. What can I do? And boy, do I give them a response. There is so much you can do. There is. Fear. You don't know your own power, folks. Go ahead.
Fear. That is the most effective mechanism ever used against mankind by mankind. And it, to this day, is still the most effective mechanism. There are so many people – let me get back to what I started this whole conversation on. There are so many people out there that are afraid to say things they know. They know for a fact that where they work, out of that 27 people that got vaccinated, 16 of them are out of work and 3 of them are dead. They know this, but they're not going to say a word. They're not going to say a word, because if they do, they're going to have their account shut down. They may talk to their neighbor about it, but the last thing they're going to do is put it where their name is attached to it on some sort of social media. It's not going to happen. This is exactly what is intended. So what we needed and what we worked very hard to facilitate was a platform where, as long as you're not breaking the law by threatening to kill somebody or sell their children, as long as you are not breaking the law, you can say what you need to say. If you want to say that COVID vaccines right now are killing more people than the fake virus is, you'd be right. And yes, you can say that. If you wanted to say right now that across the entire planet, the vaccine is killing more people than the fake virus is, you can say that. And I could go, if you want to say Joe Bob within 6 months is literally going to be drooling all over his lap, you can say that. Are you catching the drift? If you want to say the people in charge of the border should be literally taken to court and charged with treason, you can say that. But there's a lot of places you can't. And because you wish to enjoy the notoriety of having a lot of friends on Facebook, or you wish to enjoy the attention of getting a lot of likes on something on Twitter, you will put this in front of your family, in front of your country, and in front of every human being you can see, whether they think to the left or to the right. This is society today. This is the programmed ignorance, Barry, I've been talking about on your show for almost a decade. Programmed ignorance. You are programmed to react in a certain way, because if you don't, all hell's going to break loose and you ain't going to like it. I've got to tell you who this hurts more than anybody else. Our children. Take a look at our kids and look at their history books and see if they're anything like the history you were taught. Look at their math books. Oh, never mind. In the state of Washington, I think it's Washington or Oregon, I'm not sure which one, you don't even have to pass math to graduate because it's racist. I'm not joking you. That's an absolute fact. You do not have to pass. I think it's writing and math because they're racist. How the hell are you going to compete? How the hell are you going to pass a college entrance exam? Should I go on? Programmed ignorance, Barry.
Can I add something, Barry?
Yes. Yeah, you can, Steve. Go ahead.
I was on some college courses quite a few years back, journalism school. In my BA program, Roger, I actually had a professor that told everyone that was in the class. It was part of the curriculum, but he said, if you write an essay and just make out everything, the heading, don't even have to put a body, but just the put out everything in APA format, and you can leave it totally empty, and he would give us 61 points out of 100. He said nobody could do anything to fail.
I would. Oh yeah, they could. They could just avoid the class and not even get the 61. But yeah, that doesn't really shock me when you consider that the level of communism and Marxism that is being exposed daily to our college students. And I want to go one further than that. There's actually a Veritas? Yeah, video about a guy who's teaching grade school, and he's literally telling this person who's recording this, I get them for 7+ hours a day, and I'm making good little communists out of all of them. That's my goal. He literally is on tape, on video. I don't know why I say tape. Yes, I do. I'm 67 years old. It's literally on video, him saying this. Okay? So it's not even a matter of, Roger, you're blowing things all out of proportion again. Roger, you're pulling that out of your butt. Listen and watch him say it yourself. This is what we're living in today. This is not about – let me explain something to everybody out there. Let's put an end to all of the hustle and bustle here, okay? There never was a COVID-19. There never was – there may have been a SARS-CoV-2. There's a lot of coronaviruses out there, but there never was. It was literally an excuse. This is why all of the pneumonia deaths went away, all of the flu deaths went away, all of that when the pandemic supposedly hit. Stop and think about this. There never, ever was a killer virus. What you are seeing was a mechanism of fear to trick you all by fear into taking a vaccine. And that was the intention of this all along.
Right from the beginning, from day
one. Was to get all of humanity to take a vaccine that would do one of two things. Either give them total control over you, or you don't have long to live. There are scientists out there screaming at the top of their lungs, do not take this vaccine, because you may have as little as 2 years, and some saying as much as three, and others saying it could be no more than 10. But let's take the average. If you've got that vaccine, within a couple of months to 5 years at the most, you're more than likely dead. No, I'm not joking. I'm not joking at all. You want to know how I can even start to say something like that? Well, first off, it didn't come from me. It came from people who have PhD upon PhD upon PhD. These are the people saying this, okay? But there is on YouTube, or if you can't find it there, it's on BitChute, and I know it's on Rumble. There's a video showing under a microscope, and this is all proven, okay? And the video's right there, of the blood sample of a person who has not been vaccinated, where the red blood cells are nice and round and puffy and they look great and they're bouncing off each other and the whole nine yards. And the next image is an image of somebody who has had the COVID-9 vaccine. Almost every single one of those cells has been burst open. What happens when you have jagged edges instead of round, smooth edges? When these things bump together, if they've got – they can easily hook onto each other because they now have jagged edges because they're split open. Clots! What's happening right now? How many young people are dying from blood clots and heart attacks due to blood clots? I just got done telling you exactly what they found when they put these two different blood samples under a microscope. This is not a joke. The actual proof is right there. Let me ask all of you out there listening to what I just said, okay? Now do you understand why I said 2 to 3, at the most 5 years? That's all you've got to live.
I've looked at many, many videos of blood that's being magnified 400 times. What I'm seeing, and this is really reputable people that are putting their reputation on the line.
You're looking at the images. You're looking right at them.
Unbelievable. They're seeing things they've never seen in human blood ever. Yep. And some of it they don't even know what it's doing. Some of it they can't explain. Some of it they can. But the fact that this is going on right now is, I mean, if we could just get our hands on the mainstream media for 24 hours, Roger, and got this information out to the public, you would see an outcry in society here around the world. I honestly believe that, but we are up against censorship now. That is absolutely incredible. It's chapter 3 in the Communist Manifesto, and they're really getting close to completely shutting us down. Now we have in Canada vaccine passports. Well, if people are going to accept this, Roger, then we're, you know, I don't know what to say at this point. I really don't want to say, hey, we're done, but I honestly feel that if society is ready to accept this, then we're done, because you know where it's going from there, and I know. But I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say that we're really opening the Pandora's box by giving them this level of control over society. Where it's going, I'm not exactly sure, but I got a pretty good idea. I'll get your thought on that.
There are a lot of Americans waking up. There are a lot of Balkans waking up. The old Soviet Union, not behind the Iron Curtain anymore. These people are waking up quicker than most other people because they've been under the iron fist of tyranny for many years, a lot of them, and they recognize it. What we are seeing across the planet is some very, very pissed off people. I've said this on your show several times. Let me repeat it because now people will understand it even more. I have told you guys, anybody listening, you ladies, that Americans are very slow to wake up. We are in our comfort zone. Our ignorance has been programmed so well, all the way from our kids, all the way to our elderly. We are a very slow nation to wake up. When the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, the emperor told Yamamoto, now attack California, and he refused. He told the emperor, I can't do that because there'll be an American with a rifle behind every blade of grass. It took a lot to wake America up then, and it's taken even more to wake America up now, because a lot of this is hidden so well, and a lot of it is hidden behind so many lies, most people don't understand the truth, but it is happening. The cracks are appearing everywhere. I have never seen so many diverse groups across the United States in different states standing up and saying, whether it's mothers saying, get your critical race theory out of my damn kids' class, whether it is mothers going to school and saying, if you're going to force my child to wear a mask, knowing exactly what it's going to do to my child, then I'm going to be homeschooling from now on. That's on a rise like you wouldn't believe. Mm-hmm. What we are seeing across America is that slow and methodical wake up is actually happening. Now, let me tell you, it takes a lot to wake America up, but America doesn't wake up with a little murmur and a sigh. America wakes up with a whole lot of noise and action. I firmly believe that enough people in this country are already awake to make the next step inevitable. There is pushback now, and that's going to rise within the next 60 days to be 10 to 20 times what you see right now. The reason for that is there are inevitabilities that are coming down all around us. Nine nations have been asked, nine, and Spain was the last one to be asked, and they had to say they couldn't, to provide any proof to show any isolated SARS-CoV-2 virus or any COVID-19 virus. They needed, okay, via FIOA, their Freedom of Information Act, and all of these countries all had to come back and say, we have nothing to provide you. So if you stop to consider that all around the world, people are starting to understand you can't even nail down the premise that you locked an entire globe down. You can't even nail that premise down. Now you're telling everybody, you've got to have a vaccine in order for you to get back to normal. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. The vaccine doesn't keep you from getting it. It doesn't keep you from giving it. As a matter of fact, you're more dangerous with a higher viral load. So how are you going to get back to normal? You're a wrecking ball. As soon as you get a vaccine and go out into the public, you're a wrecking ball.
I've read many, many reports about the ability of this so-called jab to shed in the first 3 to 4 weeks after you've been inoculated to children. I've been reading the reports of rises of children diseases and disorders that are showing up in hospitals. This isn't talked about on any mainstream station, Roger, but I've been looking at those numbers. I've been looking at other numbers that when you start to think about it, some of it, I don't know if it can possibly be true. Some of the birth deformations I've seen from parents that have been inoculated, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's pretty extreme in itself. But we know it's causing miscarriages. We know it's causing all kinds of problems in females that are carrying babies. Yet in Canada, Health Canada says, go ahead and get your vaccine. If you're pregnant, there's nothing to worry about. People are starting to talk here, Roger. I mean, even in the native villages around Terrace here, I was talking to a native gentleman a couple of days ago, and he's telling me about the deaths that they're attributing in the village themselves. They're attributing it to the vaccines because it's elders that seem to be the ones that are getting this injection and dying. Well, you know, and let me just add one thought to that, Roger, before I let you go, because I'm gonna just finish this with a thought that anytime in history that you want to take over a society, the first thing you do is you get rid of the elders, you get rid of the older people in society, because they are the ones that have the wisdom, that have seen the changes, and they can tell the younger people about that. But if you get rid of that factor out of society, all you're getting with the young people is what they're being taught right now in the education systems for the last 15 years, 20 years. And that's one of our biggest problems. Go ahead. But that seems to be the target of these jabs. Go ahead.
Who do you go after you go after the elderly? Who do you go after next?
Guys like you and me?
No, you go after the kids, which is exactly what they're doing. They're trying like hell to pass any law they can. They're trying to get a vaccine approved again. Usually takes 8 years. In a little over a year that they're going to start giving to our most vulnerable part of our population, our children, all the way down to just crawled out of the womb. Yeah, this is what's happening. So, but let me open up another little can of worms, and then I'd like to talk a little bit more, because that's part of the solution. Okay, I'm going to tell you right now that there is an estimate, okay, just from picking numbers from each one of these countries, that at least 380,000 deaths have occurred and 63 million adverse events have occurred. Now, they're saying And again, I believe that's only 10%, and they pretty much allude to that. But I'm talking about 380,000 deaths, which you and I both know is more than likely 3.8 million deaths. But let's go with their numbers. That is for the United States, the European Union, and Great Britain. If you take those three entities and you combine their populations, you're talking about 800 to 850 million people. If you have, and let's go the route of, because these, again, were based on Bayer's numbers, let's talk about the truth. If you have 3.8 million deaths and 630, or let's say 63 million, my mistake, you know, instances of vaccine damage, and that's only what? There's 7.8 million, and we're talking about 0.8 million. If you've got that much death and damage in nations where people can actually push back against it, and it's only 10% of the global population, in the rest of these countries, they don't ask you if you want it. They go through the town and tell people to line up. Mm-hmm. Nigeria, Afghanistan, I could go on and on. They literally tell you to line up. How many deaths are occurring there? Is anybody even keeping track? Hell no. But if you have as many deaths and as much vaccine damage, serious vaccine damage, in the 800 to 850 million that, you know, make up the UK, the United States, and the European Union, what about the other 7 billion who really don't have as much choice as we have and can't put up as much of a push as we can? The numbers across the rest of this planet are being hidden from everybody. You can go online and find out numbers from the UK because people like us talk about it. You can go online and find out numbers from Canada, numbers from the United States, number from just about any member of the European Union. But find numbers from Nigeria. Find them from Afghanistan. Find them from Zimbabwe. You're not gonna. But what you will find out is they vaccinated a massive amount of those populations, and if the numbers of dead and injured are even close to the percentages we're seeing, and 850 million people still account for almost 4 million deaths, and that's only 10%, and 63 million serious, you know, injuries, you're talking about 630 million. Add the two of them together. This is by far the most dangerous and deadly pharmaceutical agent ever forced on, and I said forced, and I mean it, by intimidation or coercion on humanity. Nothing will ever compare, and it will result in the population being thinned down. Now, what do we do about this? Well, there's enough of us to actually stand up and do something. We can, but you can't talk about it. You can't coordinate. You can't all of this stuff that you want to do. I've got 9,000 people on my Facebook wall. I'm going to send them a message tomorrow. You have violated our terms of use. You now have a 30-day vacation. Have fun. No. You go to TLV Talk. You bring your friends with you. You open up a group just like you do on Facebook. You open up a page just like you do on Facebook. You start a timeline just like you do on Facebook. And you get your information out. And if somebody is important to you, you invite them over. There is not one corporate dollar, not one, in that entire platform that is built by, for, and of the people. End of story. If they don't support it, it gets shut down. Well, we haven't had to worry about that. We have people there who appreciate the fact that they can say the things in all honesty that they're not allowed to say anywhere else. And I want to fall on one more point, and that's our politicians. But Barry, if you got anything to say first, because this is going to change the subject a little bit, please.
I'll let you finish your subject, but I wanted to bring up what I've read and I understand about what is actually going on in India right now
Yep.
I when Facebook, you put something false up on Facebook, and it's on my timeline right now, and it's been there for 5 days, Roger, and my statement was, of the population of 1.38 billion people in India, there's only 199 recorded active cases of COVID in the whole population of the country, and that's because of ivermectin. I just read a report on Indonesia, Roger, and they're having the same effects on their population, that these countries are actually looking at the alternative, have a concern about their systems, and they are making ivermectin at 32 cents per person in India available to the population. One, and I was looking at official stats now. If I'm being misled on this, I don't think so, because if I put it up on Facebook and that's my statement, you'd think they'd knock that down right away if it was false, wouldn't you, Roger? And it's been there.
Well, they'll knock it down even if it's not false, and they'll say, their fact checkers will say that the source you got it from was misled.
Yeah, but they haven't put a fact checker thing on it yet, and that's what I'm surprised of.
Normally they would put it up there.
Okay, so anyways, I just thought I'd bring that up.
Well, and that's good. I want to talk about politicians, and I'm going to tell you right now, a nation stepping up like that with that many people in it, just listen to what I'm about to say, okay? Don't think I'm crazy, and wait and see what happens. When you have a nation of 1.3 billion people saying, we're not going to take your vaccines anymore, Pfizer, who is the big player on the block here, you have seen already three, maybe four leaders assassinated. Let's wait and see what happens in India. That's a huge market being ripped right out from under Big Pharma. Okay.
Well, I was trying to get to the bottom of that report, Roger, and I went to a lot of different sources. And as far as
I'm not saying it's wrong.
It's correct. Okay, go ahead.
I'm not saying it's wrong. What I'm saying is it could very well, and already has, that type of rebellion against Big Pharma has led to assassinations. And we're talking about people that run countries or are damn high in the governments. Okay, I want to talk about politicians. But before I start talking about politicians, I want to state something else. As far as talk goes, all right, this is, again, a place where you can come and say what you feel needs to be said. Anything can be said in a legal and a respectful fashion. Even if you want to tell somebody you're ugly and I never want to see you again, you can say that in a respectable enough fashion that you're not breaking the law. Okay, so we've got a platform now that allows you to come on, allows you to bring friends over and start a group so that you actually have a place where you can go and discuss something you can't discuss on Facebook. You can't discuss on Twitter. You can't discuss on YouTube. You've got a place. But why do we really need that? We elect people in this country. We live in a republic run in a democratic fashion, which means we elect our leaders to serve us. I need to explain to everybody out there right now that everything coming down on you on Facebook is as a result of the people you elected. Everything coming down on you on YouTube is as a result of the people you elected. Everything coming down on you on Twitter is as a result of the people you elected. You want to know why? Look at Nancy Pelosi standing up there screaming, just like I do, screaming at big tech to start censoring anything that isn't in their format for vaccines. Anything. You mention vaccines, and if it isn't exactly what Nancy Pelosi and her cohorts are talking about, you need to be censored or ejected from the platform. Hold on a second. These are the people we elected to protect our freedoms. You know what they're doing? They're slaughtering your freedoms. They're telling you, you elected me. Now I'm your boss, and you're going to do this because I said so, whether you like it or not. This is what you're putting up with. All of the stuff you're suffering right now as a result of laws or mandates passed by our government are really destroying this country. They've all been proven to have no basis in science. Right. They've all been proven to be lies. But at the same time, our leaders are the ones making us suffer. Our leaders are the ones shutting us off. Our leaders are the ones giving huge money to Facebook and Twitter and YouTube. Yeah, the government gives a lot of money to these. You want to keep your money? This is what you're going to do. Right now, the fourth branch, media. What our founding fathers gave us or told us would protect us from an overreaching government have become the biggest source of tyranny. They are now literally owned by a tyrannical government. How the hell can 380 million Americans sit here and watch the people we elected perform tyranny against we the people and not call them out for it?
Well, Roger, if all these audits go forward in the United States of America like they should, if every state is audited on the last election, you'll see it being decertified. And I honestly hope that happens. I don't know what your thoughts on that, how much teeth that's actually going to have, but I hear a lot of push. Lawmakers are all calling for forensic audits in 50 states. I think the list now is 108 of them. It was 92 last week. I think it's 108 now. Lawmakers are calling for audits of all 50 states in the last election. If that happens, you'll see Joe Bob out of there on his butt. What do you think?
Again,
is that a possibility? I'm asking your opinion on that because I'm seeing a lot of chatter about it. Go ahead.
It's a possibility, but it's not a probability. Let me explain to you why. All of this happened in 2016. It wasn't beat up as much because the two people running at the time didn't have the mouth and the ego, and I'm not knocking him for either one of them, okay? The mouth, the ego, or the fortitude that Trump had. When this happened to Trump, he made a big old stink about it. But if you stop to take a look in 2016 when he won, he wasn't supposed to. There was massive, and I mean massive, in the same swing states, changing of voting, rigging of voting. It all went on. The problem in 2016 was they stopped because they figured they had more than enough margin that no matter what Trump did, okay, Hillary would still win. They were, their jaws fell to the floor when they realized exactly how many votes Trump actually got. And yes, he still beat her. So how much was done as a result of that? I got to tell you something. 3-4 months after the election, you might have heard maybe one story a week. 6 months after the election, you never heard about it again. Now I've got to tell people it happened because they don't remember. What we're looking at is the exact same thing. If the people who are instigating everything we're suffering right now have enough will, they will steal an election. It doesn't matter. That's what we just saw.
Say, Roger.
And they will also be kept from going under the knife by the same money and power.
Oh. Roger, Barry?
Yes.
Can I add something here before you guys cut off? It was Trump's inauguration, 2017, January, whatever that was. There's a video out there where Barack Obama and Joe Biden are walking away from the inauguration. And you can't hear it very well unless you just up the audio tremendously.
Way up. Yep.
But Barack Obama says to Joe Biden, "This is all going to be yours very soon."
No kidding, eh?
Hey, but
and tell me the guy got 80 million votes, Roger. Go ahead.
Hold on a second, because Barack Obama's also the same guy who said you have to beware of Joe's ability to F you up. Yeah, he told several world leaders that. Joe's not a bad guy, but you've got to watch out for the fact that he really knows how to F up.
Here, I'm going to ask you a question. If this idiot that's running your country right now is allowed to go for another year, will be there anything left of the United States of America? Because I see it being absolutely dismantled right now at light speed. What do you think?
I can tell you that we need and we will survive until the midterm elections, which is in 2022. I will also tell you that, and this may come as a shock to a lot of people, but I will also tell you that I would much rather see Bubba Joe in there than who's going to end up in there, Kamala, if he goes away. I think Kamala would end up by being twice as bad for this country, and the damage that would be done would be irreparable if she ever took the helm. This is a woman. Has anybody heard anything about Kamala in the last month?
No, she's hiding.
We got a major crisis at the border. We got a major crisis in Afghanistan. We got a major crisis of COVID. We got a major, and you haven't heard one single peep from this woman for over a month. And who's in charge of the border? That's Kamala. Mm. Now, if you stop to consider that's the alternative, I would almost like rather see Joe in there at least until 2022, where impeachment or other things can be brought forward that in a legal fashion. I would much rather see Joe Bob sit there than ever to see Kamala in there.
I agree with you. If she takes the control of your country, Roger, I just don't know what to say. That I think that's the plan all along. I think that you're going to see him step down because, you know, you ask that man a question, he's stuck for an answer, doesn't know his own name. I think they're going to turn that on him and get him out of there. And I think that's the original plan, was to get her in and blah, blah, blah. We'll see where it goes.
He was at a outdoor speech the other day, and he's looking at the crowd. And he says something, okay? That's not even important. And then he looks at the crowd and he goes, is there anybody in this room that doesn't believe that? And so people in the crowd hollered, we're outside.
You mean he was telling a lie?
He just didn't know where he was. He's outside and he's saying, is there anybody in this room that doubts that? You know, okay, yeah, right, yeah, okay, Joe. Anyway.
Okay, Roger, that just got by me for a second there. Excuse me, I'm not right on my game. Okay, well, it doesn't surprise me. Anything that guy says or does, it doesn't surprise me. come on, get with the program.
Look, I'll tell you where you can get with the program. Look, everybody listening to this needs to understand something else, okay? Nobody profits off of TLV Talk, just like nobody's ever profited off of the Liberty Beacon Project. And we have 4 global news websites and 2 a science website and 2 home-based United States website. Nobody. We do not take money, okay, unless people donate. That's it. No corporate money. What we are looking at is a platform that is basically set up. You throw $5 a month in the bucket and take a look at what you're getting. When you walk in TLB Talk, you're going to swear to God you're in something that someone told you they spent $5 to $10 million to build, because it looks as good as Lindell's. It looks as good as anybody else's. I can tell you something. And between all of us, the entire team put together, we couldn't even come up with $1 million, never mind $5 or $10 million. This was built by the people, for the people. We really invite you to come to TLBtalk.com. Bring your friends. Set up a group. Have the discussions. Play the videos. Do the shows. And make sure that others who you really wish to come out of the fog are aware of where they can go to get that information. The reason I started with the money bit is we're not going to make a penny off of this. This is not about every single penny that goes into TLB Talk goes into TLB Talk. Whether it's to expanding the database, whether it's to expanding, giving you guys a Twitter replacement, giving you guys a YouTube replacement, all that's in the plans of by and for the people. What you're not going to get is, well, you talked about vaccines and we don't agree with you, so go away for a month or we just canceled your account. What you're going to get if you talk about vaccines, if you're right, you're going to get a lot of people following you. If you're wrong and people can prove it, you're going to have nobody following you. That's the way free speech works. It doesn't guarantee you an audience. It guarantees you the ability to say it. The message you put out generates the value of your audience.
Good audience and good platform, Roger. I've looked at it. I'm going to start using it a lot more myself now. But anyways, Roger, we're down to the last 30 seconds that I'm going to get you to real quickly say goodbye and last thoughts with people. And I'll have to let you go for another couple of weeks. But you know, and I know I'm going to get you back on here right away.
Absolutely. And if you get a chance, please check out tlbtalk.com. The parent site for the entire project is thelibertybeacon.com, and all of our new sites are on a tag right at the top of that main website. Look, Barry, I always appreciate the platform. You're a good friend. Thank you.
Thank you, Roger. And like I said, we'll get you back right away, but have a great day, and thanks for coming in today and sharing your information.
And thank you, Steve. We always appreciate you, too.
You're welcome.
Okay.
You're welcome.
I'll be back, guys, in a couple minutes with Rick Nichols. He is the MP that was kicked out of Doug Ford caucus in Ontario for refusing the vaccination. He has got a lot of things to say today. Hang in. It's going to be a good hour coming up. Back in a couple minutes.
He's my rock, my sword, my shield. He's my wheel in the middle of the wheel. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. Makes no difference what you say. I'm going on my knees and pray. I'm gonna wait right here for Jesus till he comes. Cause Jesus is mine. I am forgiven. Blesses me forever. I'm his, and thank God he is mine. He's my rock, my sword, my shield. He's my wheel in the middle of the wheel. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. Makes no difference what you say. I'm going on my knees and pray. I'm gonna wait right here.
Second hour, folks, and thanks again to Roger Landry for coming in. Always enjoy conversations I have with that man, and I appreciate his input. Second hour here, I had Rick Nichols on my show here a couple, 3 weeks ago. Asked Rick to come back in again today because a couple things have gone on since our last conversation. I absolutely applaud this man's courage and the stance he's taken against the Ontario government and Doug Ford and his cronies. Welcome back to the show, Rick. And I always like to start my show with your pet peeve of the week. So let's hear your pet peeve of the week.
Well, thanks again, Barry. It's great to connect with you and your listening audience. Certainly enjoyed it the last time. My pet peeve of the week. Well, I'll tell you something. You know, it never ceases to amaze me. You know, my issues with this vaccine or this experimental drug has just been with choice. People make choices, but then all of a sudden, I'm telling you, they come out of the woodwork and they hammer, they complain, they just say all kinds of nasty stuff. And I'm thinking, oh, for heaven's sakes, you guys, it's about choice. You know, it's not about immunology. It's people need to have choice. So I get a little bit perturbed, or I guess you would call it my pet peeve of the week. You know, when people, they don't read or they don't know how to read when they're reading something. They, of course, you see, if my narrative doesn't fit their narrative, then, well, they're right and I'm wrong. And it's not about who's right or who's wrong. It's about choice. And I wish that the governments, the provincial governments, would kind of get their act together. But they're mandating, and it's kind of, you know, Barry, it's what changed from yesterday to today? Would somebody please tell me? Because yesterday, people were working, people, neighbors were talking, manufacturing was going fine, you know, nurses were working in hospitals, and, you know, they were looking after the sick, whether it was vaxxed or unvaxxed or just regular people in ICUs. Everything seemed to be working, not like it used to be 2 years ago, but it was working out, and things were going well. Nurses were wearing their PPE. And now all of a sudden, wow, you can't work for us unless you're vaccinated. And it just kind of, it just started, it was a downward spiral from there. And I still question, what happened from yesterday to today, Barry? And I just find that a little bit frustrating. If I'm a little frustrated about it, well, you're right, I am.
No, I'm beyond frustrated, Rick. I mean, we've gone from 15 days to flatten the curve to a socialist segregated society. And I said this in the first hour, that if Canadians are going to accept these vaccine passports, well, my friend, we will be under the boot. And I honestly believe this. We'll be under the boot of medical tyranny for the rest of our life, because they're already talking about the boosters. They're already talking about a variant. Well, we've seen how many variants come out already, and they're stating to us that these variants, one of the statements that CBC made, and I'm going like, how can you sit there and tell people those blatant lies and get away with it? Well, we know the reason for that, but they're telling us that this thing's 133% more dangerous than the original. Well, never, ever, ever in history of medicine has a variant been stronger than the original. But that's what they're feeding the Canadian public. They've got them terrified again. It's just like, here we go, round four, round five. You know, Rick, if people think that this is ever, ever going to go away until we stand up in mass and put a stop to it, that it will never, ever go away, because we've given them a level of control and power over the people they've never experienced before. They are just drunk with power right now, and they are putting their foot to the floor. But I think the reason for that, Rick, is that people now are really starting to wake up in Canada. And I've seen that in general conversations I'm having with people, that they're all saying to me that, hey, I don't want to go get this thing. I mean, I'm hearing from people and friends, and even in our community now, people are starting to talk because people are dying. Like I said in the first hour, especially the elders, Rick, I've been hearing it from the reserves, and I'm hearing it from natives that I'm talking to, that a lot of the elders that have gone ahead and got this jab because they told them it was a thing to do are seem to be the ones that are passing away. So to tell me that this isn't targeted to older people in society, I wouldn't believe that. I believe that was one of the objectives in the beginning, is to get rid of the wisdom in our society, get rid of the older people that see the changes coming, are going to be able to express that to our youngsters, get rid of them first. And that, of course, comes out of the Communist Manifesto, which our government's following word for word right now. Rick, go ahead. My thoughts.
You know what, Barry? You hit on such tremendous good points. I want to suggest something, because I know that, you know, you have a tremendous following out in British Columbia. I just want to, if I may, share with your listening audience an interview that I did just recently. As a matter of fact, it went up late Friday night. And I'm going to ask your audience, obviously when they're not listening to you, to tune in to Bright Light, LITE News, BLN, Bright Light.
Yep.
News.
Yep.
I'll tell you, Gord it does an amazing job. And, of course, here's the thing. You know, the beautiful thing about you and guys like Gord, you're what I would call the underground economy in a sense. you don't get any funding from the government, not like mainstream media. And of course, when you accept money from mainstream or from the government, then the government feels that they own you. And of course, so that's why we're not hearing a lot from mainstream media. That's my opinion, of course, Barry. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, my friend, if they want to check out, it's a 57-minute interview, and I basically lay it on the line. And it's probably one of the second best interview I've done. The best interview was with you a few weeks ago.
Come on, Rick, give me a break, buddy. You know, I don't know how many people listen to me, Rick, but that doesn't matter. If one person listens or 10 people listen, it doesn't matter. I'm going to still keep talking every weekend. I really don't know how many people are out there listening to me, but like I said, that doesn't matter. If we influence one person in our conversation today, that's my rewards for doing what I do. I see what's going on in this country right now, buddy, and it Rick, and I'm a strong man. I consider myself to be a pretty strong guy. But, you know, when I see what they're doing to our children and what they want to do to our children and the reports now I'm reading about effects on children from this disease, this poison that they're sticking in our bodies, my friend, it brings me to tears and it makes me more committed every day to fight these evil, evil people that want to stick this now in five-year-old children, Rick. Have we lost our collective mind in this country? Go ahead.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy, Barry. I want to share with you one of the things that I'm working on right now is getting a panel of a combination of doctors, a lawyer, a minister who is the president of Canada Christian College, and I may get a couple of others on there as well, and do a panel discussion, tape it, and shoot it out when it's done. We're just working. We're in the early stages of that right now. But one of the doctors shared with me, said there is a town. I won't mention the town, but in Ontario, a town in Ontario that has a long-term care, and this particular long-term care, they started just recently to administer the booster shots to the people in long-term care there. Four died, seven are in hospital in very bad shape. And the lawyer representing that long-term care stated, and we've got this, and I've got this, you know, second hand, or in this case, third hand, because the doctor shared with me that someone who he knows shared it with someone else that he knows had it shared to by someone who works in the facility, but was told that if you share this information, you will be fired. In other words, they're trying to keep a lid on it. And that's just typical of even what the media are trying to do. Barry, tell me, please, what's going on here? I said earlier, you know, the difference between yesterday and today is night and day. Like, no, the government now here in Ontario, the government has not mandated mandatory vaccines for people. Well, let me back up. They did it, but they only did it for one person. And you're talking to them. And that cost me my political career because I stood up to the government and said, no, I am not going to receive this vaccine and or this experimental drug because not enough clinical testing has been done, not only just on short term, but even on long term, because long term doesn't exist because it's only been out maybe a year, maybe a year.
Yep.
But you talk about the number of injuries. I got criticized because I was talking about how in England, this is going back maybe about a month or so ago now. And the report at that time in England was that there was over 1 million injuries from the vaccine and over 1,400 deaths directly attributed to people receiving the vaccine. Why don't they shut it down? Shut it down.
The VAERS network in the States, their vaccine adverse effects reporting site, has the number now. It's Roger and me were talking about this the first hour, Rick, that they have the numbers at 17,000. I looked at the site a couple of days ago, 17,300 deaths directly attributed to taking this vaccine, and the number of injuries, it's just astronomical, the amount of reports. But the scary thing about it, Rick, is that you know, there's been university studies done on these reporting sites, and they, you know, they're only giving us a percentage of the actual numbers. That this information is being so fudged and so kept away from the Canadian people that it's criminal. But if one of the things I say to people, and this is something I say a lot, is that if you look what was happening in Germany when Hitler rose to power, that by 1935, Hitler had complete control of all the media in Canada, bought, paid for in his back pocket, or in Germany, he had it in his back pocket. The people heard nothing outside of what the government wanted them to hear. Well, Trudeau bailed out CBC. How many years ago was that? I think that was almost 4 years ago. It was 3 years ago, I believe, that he bailed out the CBC. So he basically bought the media in Canada. It's so biased that it's ridiculous that they should be held to account to the highest levels right now for what they're actually bringing forward to the Canadian people, because they're not a news media anymore. They're a corporation, a corporate propaganda arm for the Canadian government is all they are, that they don't bring forth any contradictory opinions to this agenda. None whatsoever. Yet if you go around the world and listen to other sites right now, Rick, you see thousands and thousands, thousands and thousands and thousands of doctors voicing their opinion in large, large vocal tones against what's going on. But you hear none of that, not a murmur, not one single word about it. That, me, my friend, is step two in taking over the country. Well, Hitler, you know, he imposed the papers deal in 1937. I believe it was 1937. By the end of 1937, you had to have papers to walk anywhere in Germany. Well, where are we going now with these vaccine passports? Now they're telling us we can't go to sporting events. Next, it'll be, well, now it's airplanes. Can't get on the airplane. 2 months from now, it'll be, hey, guys, you can't go in the grocery store anymore. After that, won't be able to go to the bank. Well, it's going to get to a point where they're just going to have people completely at their bidding, because we're not going to be able to function in society unless we go ahead and take these jabs. So that's what we're up against, and that's where I see it going, my friend. Go ahead.
I totally agree with you. I've got a quick question for you, though.
And I have a question for you, too, from chat after this. Go ahead.
17,300 reported deaths from VAERS. Now is that percent, Barry?
Say what? I'm sorry, you looped out there for a second.
You had mentioned that VAERS had reported 17,300 deaths, and I'm just wondering, like, where is that worldwide?
That's in North America.
In the U.S. Okay, in the U.S.
U.S. and Canada.
Perfect. I'm sorry,
but they're only getting a fraction of what's actually being reported, Rick. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Is that you know what we're seeing right now with children and around the world? It's astronomical. But it's being really, they're doing everything they can to keep this away from the public, man.
So here's another question for you, Barry. I think, forgive me, because I have done a number of different other podcasts, and I wasn't sure if it was you or it was someone else had mentioned that 83% of women who have had the vaccine and are pregnant miscarry within the first trimester. Had you heard that before?
I've heard really high numbers. I haven't actually heard the percentage, but I have seen, I can't even begin to tell you how many reports I've looked at of problems with women that are given this so-called miracle vaccine during the course of pregnancy. If some of the things I'm seeing, and a couple reports that came to me from Europe, I'm trying to get to the bottom of it, but that you're actually seeing major malformities in children that are born to a woman that's taken the vaccine. So I know, Rick, I'll tell you, there's a lot of bull out there. There is. I really have to be careful about getting drawn into any kind of bull, because I know there's lots of it out there, but there's also a lot of truth. And I'm trying to get to the bottom of a few of these things. So I'm not going to say it's happening, but I've seen some reports from reputable doctors overseas that are actually showing us videos, and it's pretty disturbing, to say the least. How can anybody justify putting, you know, one of the most important things about bringing a vaccine forward to the public is animal studies, because it gives you a generational effect of the vaccine. Well, these were all bypassed under the declaration of a so-called Emergency Health Act, that we were in a national emergency health situation, that all these safeguards that are usually put in place to protect people from ill harm from vaccines were thrown aside. And this was brought to the public in record time. Never before in history has one been brought forward this fast. And now we're seeing all these adverse effects. Well, you wonder why people don't want to get it. The good thing about it, Rick, like I was saying, in conversations now, in general conversations in public, I'm seeing they're not listening to CBC for their information, that they're actually hearing from people in their own society of some of the things that's being reported. And it's getting a lot of people really scratching their heads. And so they should be. Go ahead.
Well, it's interesting, Barry. I received a phone call and did an interview with CBC Windsor a while back, about a week and a half or so ago. And it was interesting. They didn't challenge me. They asked questions, but they couldn't come back on me. So they were basically just throwing the question out there. And then I'm sure they had a listening audience that would come in and call in. And everybody, opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one. But right. And they would have got people calling in support and not support and so on. But you know what? The one thing, when you talk about the news people and so on, you're right. Trudeau gave the number 40 million stands out of my mind, but I couldn't.
600 million. The first bailout was $600 million. Rick.
Wow. And since that, a little bit.
Yeah. And I know this, I've looked into this, and if you weren't aware of that, that's what the original bailout to CBC was $600 million. Since then, he's also given CBC another $6 billion. And they are constantly on the government payroll. I can't remember the exact figure. It's over like 100,000 or 100 and some odd thousand every week that they get from the government on top of bailouts. And he's bailed them out twice now. Canadian public aren't aware of this, but that's what this guy's done. Also, you know, Rick, before the last election, that Trudeau and Hintz was going to be kept quiet, but of course the information got out that $61 million was sent out to independent medias around the country a month before the election. What do you think he was doing, my friend? And he got away with this. $61 million of our money went to feed us propaganda to get him back in there. And how he got reelected, Rick, I don't know, because everybody I talked to in this country hates the guy's guts. So I think something phony was going on there. But whether we'll be able to prove that or not, probably not. But I think there was something being fudged behind the scenes. Go ahead, my friend.
Well, you know what? There's a phrase, and I've coined it, and I've been criticized of it, but that's okay. It's called follow the money.
Yes.
And when you take a look at it here in Ontario, you know, the guy that really talked down to me was actually trying to embarrass me, trying to force me, trying to coerce me, trying to bully me into getting the vaccine, who in fact was an unelected individual who happened to be the campaign manager for Doug Ford's 2022 election in June. I have since really gone after him on this. And cool. It's interesting. He also represents, he is one of the co-founders of a company called Rubicon Strategies. Now, we just checked out his website yesterday, and they have taken his name completely off the website right now because they were getting a lot of heat. And interestingly enough, in addition to, and these are some of their corporate clients, Amazon, how well have they been doing? Walmart, well, gee, they never closed Walmart down. And there's about six or seven big pharma companies that his company is the, you know, they promote. And of course, you know, that includes Pfizer, that includes AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson even, you know, and there's a number of others in there. So it's kind of called follow the money. But this guy is nothing more than a tadpole in a sea of sharks. But, you know, what he's trying to be influential. That's what happens with these lobbyists. There's a new government or a government's in there, then they go to work on the government. How can we get money? okay, here are my clients. Here's what we need to do. And that's how it works. And it's dirty, 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 in my opinion.
Oh, and I'm more than dirty. It's criminal. It's criminal. And you know, SNC-Lavalin, I believe their name is attached to that same corporation.
You could be right. Yeah.
When adding to that thought, Rick, you know, we talked about the big stores, the big box stores did great during the shutdowns. Well, in Toronto, in Toronto, you have a restaurant, a single man trying to run his restaurant, and they send in the riot police on horseback to shut down his. But meanwhile, down the street, two blocks away, you've got a Costco with 3,000 people in it or 2,000 people in it with no restrictions, no social distancing. They have them lined up outside, but if you get a video of what's going on in the store, it's life is normal. Man, I'll tell you, it's if you want to destroy a society, Rick, you destroy the middle class. And what this government has effectively done since the start of this pandemic is attack the middle class. How many small businesses have closed in Canada right now? I don't have the number in front of me, but the last time I looked at it, which was a while ago, it was like 450,000 small businesses have closed in Canada, and half of them will not open. Well, you're destroying the middle class of the country. It's pretty obvious what their agenda is. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. You know, you talk about people gathering, the number of people for example, a Costco. Take a look. All you have to do is I'm a football fan, and I'm not sure what they're allowing with the BC Lions right now, what the capacity is in the stadium. But you look at college, university football games, packed. You look at the NFL right now. Sunday is NFL day, and the stadiums are packed. Sometimes you see people wearing masks. I think they've been having COVID and variant issues down there as well. But, you know, are they only allowing double vaxxed people in there? Well, my numbers tell me that there's a very large percentage of Americans who are not vaccinated right now. And here's my issue, Barry. Here's my issue. You know, you talk about a pet peeve earlier. Well, this one just came to mind. So this past week, the Ontario Legislative Assembly came back. Doug Ford prorogued the government. In other words, he shut it down. We were supposed to go back a week after Labor Day, shut it down for 3 weeks. So what does that mean? First of all, any bills, private members' bills, I had one on the table. Any private members' bill, any other legislation, although they got most of the legislation through, it's wiped off the table. It would have to be reintroduced, number one. So that's one of the things. And then, of course, they were starting to get a lot of heat with these passports, vaccine passports. So they shut it down again so they wouldn't have to answer that for 3 weeks. But now they're starting to having to pay the piper. Well, here's guess what? So the Ontario legislature, there are a total of 124 MPPs. Out west, maybe they call them MLAs.
Okay. Same thing. Okay.
Okay. Now, What happened is now they are having cohorts. They're not having the full complement of 124 members in the legislature. But, you know, before the government prorogued, before we broke for summer, we were in cohorts. We were wearing masks inside the legislature and in the halls in the Queen's Park. But people were going about their business. I didn't like the mask, but so what? Some were vaccinated, some weren't, so what? And now all of a sudden, somebody says, thou shalt be vaccinated. So, and if you're not vaccinated, and this goes for even staff who work in Queen's Park, they have to have what they call a rapid test done. It's not as invasive or intrusive as the PCR test. PCR test goes probably right up to your brain, but this one just goes inside your nostril. It goes in about maybe an inch. That's about it. And they do their testing. So here's the deal. They say this. So if you're not vaccinated, you have to have a negative rapid test. Well, guess what? I went last week. I knew I was going to be in the legislature this past week. And so I paid $40 out of my own pocket. had the test, came back negative. I was allowed to go in there, but only for 2 days, not three, only for 2 days. But they were saying to everybody else, if you're double vaccinated, come on in. All you need to do is just show us proof that you're double vaccinated and come on in. You know, Bob's your uncle. Well, here's my challenge. So I said this to the speaker, Ted Arnon. I said, Ted, so I have to get tested and I can walk into Queens Park and everybody knows that I had a negative test. So basically what I'm saying is I'm clean. However, everybody else who's been double vaccinated and not required to get a recent test, how do I know? Because the quote-unquote medical experts have stated, Barry, they have stated that anyone who is double vaxxed can A, still catch COVID or the variant, but they can also be asymptomatic and spread COVID and or the variant. So here
Absolutely.
I am. I'm clean. I'm at greater risk being in a room with people who are double vaccinated because how do I know who might be a carrier? Because they're not testing them. And I said, you test me, you need to test everybody else for consistency and don't discriminate against the unvaxxed. And that's exactly what's happening.
Of course, there's nothing they're doing makes any sense. The viral load that's being carried by people that are vaccinated, Rick, I've done a lot of looking into this. You should have listened to Roger talk in the first hour there because he's a man that's really, really versed on this subject. But what we're seeing is that around the world, the reports that are coming in, and I've seen multiple reports here in the last 10 days, a lot of these reports, I'll actually send them over to Roger. He does a lot of fact-checking for me. And he'll tell me if there's truth to it or not. And I appreciate when he does that for me. He takes a little time out and checks stuff because I'm not quite sure if I've got it right or not. But what we're seeing, Rick, around this world right now is that most of the new Delta variants that are being diagnosed in society are coming from people that have been double vaccinated. In Israel, these are the numbers that I've been – and I have to double check and triple check numbers because the last thing I want to do is try and ever put out false information to people. But every country I'm looking at right now are telling us that this new Delta variant that's supposed to be deadlier than heck that's arising in our society. Well, you know, the percentages of people that have been double vaccinated are the ones, you know, 70-80%. That the unvaccinated people aren't the ones that are driving these new variants. So one's got to ask himself, where exactly is this variant coming from? We have no idea what are inside these so-called vaccines. They're not a vaccine. They're a genetic modification of the human body. There's nothing telling us what's inside these. You take an insert out of a COVID-19 vaccine bottle, and it's white. There's nothing on there, not required by law under this perceived medical emergency that our country's in still, that they're not providing information about what's actually inside these things. Then we think about one other thing, and I'm going to let you talk after this, but this is something that I think about a lot, and is nanotechnology and what they can actually do with nanotechnology. Most people in the world today don't understand how far advanced they are with that and what they can actually do. So what are they actually putting inside these jabs? One other thing I'm going to say to you, Rick, and this is something are coming from really, really reputable doctors that are doing these experiments, is that they're taking a sample of blood from somebody that's had two vaccinations and putting it under 400 magnification. I'm going to try and find somebody myself in this community that's willing to give me a drop of their blood. And I'm going to look at this myself because what we're seeing is stuff in the blood that's never been seen before in human history. So why are they actually putting into these jabs? We don't know. Go ahead. We don't. You know, it's called informed consent, Rick. One of the biggest things, one last thought. Informed consent is one of the cornerstones of any medical practices in the world, is that you have to know what's going on, what the possible side effects are, and what the ingredients are, and they're bypassing that all right now under this so-called medical emergency, which doesn't exist. Go ahead.
Well, you know what? I'm going to be putting on my on my website, it should be up by Wednesday night, something that I call the Declaration of Liability. And what I tell people is this. So your employer is saying, you either get vaccinated or else you're fired. And I say to people, number one, do not disclose your medical records. Are you vaccinated? I'm sorry, but that's between my doctor and I, respectfully. You know, you can't ask me that question. You're not a medical doctor. Number two, then I say to them, you know, fill out this, grab this declaration of liability, and you say to them, I'm happy to take the vaccine, but before I do, I have some questions, and I need you to satisfactorily respond to every one of these questions.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do it satisfactorily, then I will consider getting the vaccine. Well, Barry, it's so complex and so detailed. You know, an employer doesn't want to have to do that. But basically, you're saying to the employer that can you guarantee
you're going to be held responsible?
Yeah, you'll be held responsible. You know all about that.
Yep.
Now, the other thing that I wanted to mention, though, is you talked about informed consent. Well, first of all, and you talked about kids earlier. And, of course, my question way back when I was in caucus, a member of the PC caucus here in Ontario, I challenged the doctors. And this one Dr. Brown, who's on the science table, I said to him, so how do we know that these vaccines are safe for young people 12 to 17? Well, we just know they are. They're safe. No, that's not good enough. No, they are. Next question. And I went, oh, brother. So what we're finding now is, especially in young boys, and you know this, that they're getting the jabs and now they're having heart issues.
Yeah.
And anything to do with the heart and other vital organs, it's irreparable. It won't heal itself.
Yep.
So now we've got these young people with major health issues. Then it goes further. And now it gets to your point about informed consent. Suddenly here in Ontario, they have stated that a child does not need to have parental consent to get the jab. I said, really? No, over my dead body, because I'm looking at it and I'm saying, if it's my son or daughter, if it's my grandchild and I have him and I'm looking after that child, you will not inject them. Now, what I'm hearing is that by virtue of you just simply sending your child to school, that's consent. And now they're starting to have these pop-up clinics at schools.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids get the jabs. And it's kind of like, well, if Jimmy and Johnny are buddies and Jimmy says, I'm going to get that jab because you know what? I can get ice cream or I can get a backpack or I can get a whatever. You know, and
get Johnny's full of ice cream.
Oh, gosh. You know?
Are we living as it's like we woke up in a la-la world, a totally wackadoodle world, Rick. It really is. What these people are proposing, I can't even fathom where they come up with these ideas. Go ahead.
It's coercion at its worst. You know, I really have a problem with that.
But boy, do I ever.
You know, but then here's another thing, too. You know, we talk about doctors. And you're absolutely right. More and more doctors are saying, that's it. I can't stay quiet anymore. These vaccines are killing people. They're maiming people. People are ending up with serious side effects and injuries from the vaccine. And it's happened not just in Europe or in England. It's happening
worldwide.
In Canada and throughout the United States, worldwide.
Yep.
And in Ontario, there's something called the CPSO, College of Physicians and Surgeons of Ontario.
Yep.
And they have muzzled the doctors. If a doctor is caught speaking out against the vaccine and or prescribing something other than the vaccine to help people get better, for example, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, you know, and those types of drugs, which are basically over-the-counter drugs, and now they're saying, oh, there's a shortage. Yeah, right. Why? Like, there's something. If this doesn't smell, you know, fishy, then I don't know what does. So
ivermectin.
They're finally now saying, doctors are now finally saying, I've had enough, I'm speaking out. And that means, if that means that I'm going to lose hospital privileges, if that means I'm going to lose my medical license, the license to practice medicine, then so be it. I can't do it anymore. I'm a person of character. I'm a person of integrity. I'm a person of honesty. And, of course, I don't want to, you know, do no harm.
Yeah, how about your hypocritical oath? How about that?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Number one.
Hippocrates, that's right. Hippocrates oath, and it's like, wow, you know. So they're speaking up, and we're starting to make some headway. The groundswell is there. But yep. I'm telling you, you know, I have a lot of hunters in my area, and they're keeping a lot of ammunition around, if you know what I mean. You know,
You know what, Rick? There's a lot of people in this country right now that feel the same way. That, you know, you hear people like Rick Nutley in Alberta going, "Hey, like, let's get this going door to door now, folks. Is that a great idea?" And then you listen to what Trudeau's, and then he's kind of making subtle remarks to the same kind of ideas. You know, he's putting that little seed out there for people to gnaw on for a while. These guys are insane, Rick. They are absolutely insane. What they're doing to our society, all I can say is that I hope a time comes real soon that they're all held to account, because they have violated every charter of right in our country. They have violated the Nuremberg Codes, the Geneva Convention, any document that supports human rights since the Second World War and before. They have stomped on, and people are being silent about it. That's what scares me the most. Go ahead. Oh, a question from chat. How do we fix it, Rick? One of my listeners want to know, how do we fix this in Canada right now? And he's a Canadian. Go ahead.
Well, again, I think I wish I could say that there was just a one quick answer for that. But again, what I mentioned earlier about a groundswell, and I've suggested this to people, you know, get people of like mind, call the police, tell them that you're going to protest in front of your, you know, your small town hall, your municipal buildings, your government buildings, and say that enough is enough, and get those people out there. And then you get a hold of some of the politicians and put pressure on the politicians. Now, I had heard, Barry, that there was a medical officer of health in BC that basically spoke out and basically said, yeah, these vaccines aren't working, or something along that lines. Have you heard anything like that?
I heard something about that. There was actually a video put up about it, and I went to go to look at it, and it was taken down. So, if anything that's going up, they're taking it down. Our censorship levels now are right off the charts, Rick. They're just coming at us hard. I think the reason that's happening is because they're starting to lose the information war, that people are starting to get up on what's actually happening. You know, they see now that something's very, very wrong in Denmark. I use that as an expression. But people are aware that, you know, they're talking to people in their community now. Like I said, even in this little town of mine, people that were really negative about anything I talked about years ago seem to be embracing in conversations with me, because I put little bugs in their ears about numbers. I challenge people all the time, and this is something that people have to do, Rick, is, you know, we're only the messenger. We're just bringing forward stuff that we've looked at that doesn't make any sense, and you like to get people to have a look at it. I challenge people all the time that, you know, don't listen to what I'm saying. Go, please, look this up for yourself. Spend an hour on the internet, especially when it comes to vaccinating your children. Because, you know, the children don't have a choice in what's going on with their body. You're the caregiver. You're the one that's going to be responsible for what actually happens to the child. Even if the state is telling them different, it's your responsibility to get yourself educated on what's going on with these jabs for kids. And if you love your child and you see this information, then there's no excuse for you not pulling them out of school, Rick, period. Because these things are deadly. And they want to, now they're talking Ontario, they're going to give them to five-year-old children? Have we lost our collective minds, bud? Go ahead.
Oh, it's
what is going on, man? Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, you know what? If the Rocky Mountains were in Ontario, I'd be screaming from the peaks of the Rocky Mountains how bad and how wrong this is. You know, I've had parents say to me, Rick, my son or daughter can't play hockey. This is getting into hockey time right now. And of course, I'm not sure what's going on in BC, but in Ontario right now, they're not allowing the kids to play football. And it's a real sad, sad state of affairs. You know, kids need to have that social interaction, need that athleticism. But the problem is they're saying, oh, well, we can't have all these kids all together in one room. You know, they might get COVID. Kids don't really spread that. It's the adults that spread it to the kids for the most part. You know, yes, there are exceptions, but you know what? where do the kids get it from? Well, they probably got it from their parents, or they probably got it from maybe a teacher. Who knows? I don't know. But the sad part is that parents now, unless they get this, unless a parent is double vaxxed, they cannot go into basically an empty arena to watch their son or daughter play hockey.
Yep.
How crazy is that? Those who are 12 years old and older, they can't play hockey unless they are double vaxxed. That makes zero sense to me at all. Like, we've lost our minds. It's complete insanity what's going on right now. And lately, I was talking with a doctor who's on my side, and he and I, he shares information with me and vice versa. And he sent me the articles of four. One was a university student. Maybe two might have been university, and two I think were high school. But the one kid was a football player. He played for a team. I think it was Ottawa GGs or something like that. College football, university football.
Right.
And he got the jab, and within a few days he was dead. Another young lady got the jab. Few days later, dead. There were four deaths inside of 2 weeks. Young people who got the jab. Well, doesn't that throw up any? And then you know the naysayers. You know, oh, it's fine. Just take the jab. I get that all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of like, yeah, right. You're not going to tell me what to do. I'm sorry. But then you get the people saying, well, that's a real exception to the rule. Well, it's not an exception to the rule if that was your son or daughter that died.
Yep.
And people need to wake up to that, you know, because of the fact that there's going to be a lot of other deaths out there within I perceive within the next 3 months. Mark my words. It's going to be tragic. However, Barry, back to your point earlier about how the media, mainstream media, will not, you know, report those injuries or those deaths because they don't want to frighten everybody. Well, excuse me. They are, what do they call it? If somebody commits a crime, you're an accessory to the crime.
Yep.
You know, an accessory to murder.
Yep.
And these mainstream medias who've been advocating and promoting that because they got bought off, follow the money again, if they got bought off, then in fact, in my mind, they are an accessory to murder. And that's just plain and simple. I'm sorry, but I'm telling it the way I see it. And having all these different years of playing sports and officiating at high levels in sports, you make the call the way you see it. And that's exactly what I'm doing with this as well. No different.
Hey, I absolutely applaud you for Rick, and I wish there was a thousand more politicians like you in Canada right now. Maybe we could turn this thing around. But what we see is a majority of them that are just bought in and paid for. I don't know. I've got to applaud you for being able to sit in the Ontario caucus when you're surrounded by all these sharks and wolves, and you know you're the only one in there that's standing to represent his thoughts and is willing to defy the government, and the rest of them are all bought and paid for. That takes a lot just to be able to do that, my friend. But what we're seeing right now is something I kind of knew that this was going to happen years ago, because we kind of, you know, years ago, if you hear us talking on shows, we talked about different methods of how they were going to bring complete control into society. And of course, medical tyranny was one of the subjects that we talked a lot about. And that's exactly what we're seeing right now in Canada, that what they're doing is criminal. If they're allowed to start injecting five-year-olds with these poisons, you are going to see a lot of children all of a sudden die. Well, is that what it's going to take, Rick, to wake the parents up in this country? My call out today is to anybody that's a parent of a child, you really have to look into what this is all about before you allow them to inject this in their body. And if they're going to do it at your school, then you get your kid the hell out of that school quick. I don't know what else to say to you. Go ahead, Rick.
You're going to start to see a lot of kids being homeschooled, and that's going to be a little difficult for parents. I have to agree.
Yeah.
But because not all parents are capable of being at home with their children to teach them for whatever the reasons are. But if that's the only way you can save your child, from the vaccine, then do it, because I'm hoping that, you know, common sense will prevail down the road here. Certainly not right now, but it has to. Now, I want to share something with you, Barry, that I was alarmed. I was absolutely alarmed. About 3 days ago, I received a note from a good friend of mine who's done a lot of research into a lot of this stuff. He came across a request for proposal from the federal government. And do you know what that request for proposal was for? Guillotines. Guillotines. And I went, what? Come on. You know, that's ridiculous. But you know what? I mean, like, I don't know what they're going to use them for. I have no idea. And I have no idea how many. I have no idea, you know.
I'm laughing. I'm laughing right now, Rick, because that is a very, very deep rabbit hole. And I've gone down that rabbit hole. And I know for a fact, I won't say it for a fact, but years ago, the reports of them being brought into the United States of America were everywhere. And they were coming from whistleblowers. What to make of it? Why would, if it's true, then that would make a conversation for a show in itself, because if they plan on using guillotines on the public, and we know that they're building camps around the country right now, I'll go a little bit deeper with that rabbit hole, Rick. I know that there's enclaves being set up in this country, because this government's objective is to destroy this country. And this might sound a little far-fetched to you, but I know for a fact that this government is supporting and protecting enclaves in this country. And when the word is given that they will create chaos in our society. And I believe that will be the mechanism necessary to declare martial law in Canada. And if that ever happens, we lose it all. Just, I know that's a deep rabbit hole, but it's something I've looked at. And you brought that up with guillotines because there's a lot to that story. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I
mean, crazy rabbit hole. It might sound a little far-fetched, but not really. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, you know, it's, people say, Rick, that's a crazy,
crazy thought.
crazy conspiracy theory. Well, I have seen paperwork. I saw the paperwork, but I saw a picture that was taken of the paperwork. So, but no idea where it's, you know, how many, no idea, and so on. You know. But it did have the Government of Canada's logo on it and where it's going to be shipped to in Ottawa and all this stuff. However, having said that, I may have mentioned this the last time on your show, but I'm going to mention it again. What's the difference between a conspiracy theory and reality?
Well, they called me. I was just going to say 1 year.
Ten months. 10 months. Because 10 months ago, these vaccine passports were nothing but a conspiracy theory.
Yep.
Where are we now? Where are we now, my friend?
And boy, you let them get this, Rick. And I say it, I've said it before, and I'll say it again right now. If we allow this to go on, then there will be no stopping it. Because if you get to a point where the government can mandate to you what you're putting into your body medically, you think they're going to stop with this? You don't think there's going to be boosters and boosters and boosters that these big corporations that are all tied together, it's a giant circle of big boys playing a game. They're all going to make billions and billions. And I think it's deeper than that myself. I think there's a depopulation agenda effect in the world, an agenda going on in the world. I won't get into that too much right now, but I believe that. And boy, this would be an effective mechanism, because I said earlier in the show, Rick, we don't know what's actually in these shots. And given what they can do with technology like nanotechnology, and given what they can do with frequencies and directed energy weapons, one last thought to the equation. I always say this to people, is that their technology is 15, sometimes maybe even 20 years ahead of what we're allowed to know about. We take that into consideration. Look at what they can do with hologram technology, what they can do with directed energy. We know they have all these toys. Put that 15 years down the road, maybe put something into the human body, hit them with a frequency, and we all drop dead. I mean, that sounds far-fetched, but nothing is out of the book for these guys. These people are evil, and I believe a population agenda is one of the agendas that's in play. But that's a conversation for another day.
You know what bothers me, Barry, is, you know, these powers to be, okay, And that it could be the Klaus Schwab. It could be Bill Gates. It could be
the big boys.
Fauci, the big boys, you know, mm-hmm. George Soros, all these very filthy, rich individuals. They are getting so bold. They're basically telling us what they're going to do because they feel we can't stop them. And that's a scary thought.
Yep.
And, you know, it seems like we are chasing our tail. To your audience, listener on the chat line, he said, well, what can we do? Again, we have to band together. Out in yep. B.C., is Victoria the capital of B.C.?
Yes, it is.
That's where your parliament buildings are, right?
Yep.
Well, you know what? I know it's a boat ride, but people need to get together. They need to reach out to their MLAs and put pressure on them. They need to create petitions, you know, stating very clearly, you know, what it is that they want done, you know, based on the fact that, you know, we the people, you know, are now asking, you know, the provincial government of British Columbia to, you know, and then get them to whatever it is, get that down in black and white, get a bunch of signatures that needs to get submitted to the legislature and make sure that they put enough pressure on their MLA that MLA will actually read those petitions
yep.
in the legislature. That's yep. what has to happen.
I agree.
Okay, we need to band together. We need to band together and do what we can to get the word out. So put pressure on your politicians as well.
Rick, if we came at this government in mass, it would all come to an end. It would come to an end so quick, it'd make your head spin. But it would have to come at them in mass. That's the only way they're going to listen at this particular point in history. Individuals screaming at them, you might as well as talk to a wall because you'll get the same result. We are up against it right now, and you're absolutely correct that there's never been a more important time that we put aside any differences we have as human beings and look at what's coming in the future to this country and ask yourself, what's the most important thing in your life right now? To me, this is the most important thing, is getting people aware of just how much danger we are in, and the enemy is inside the gates, and boy, we all need to get our poop together quick here, Rick. Absolutely. Go ahead.
It's all freedom. It's all about freedom. You know, but they're going to take our freedom away by jabbing us with this stuff. And as I mentioned earlier about that one long-term care home in Ontario, where they all had their vaccines, their jabs. I hate to call it vaccine because they all got their experimental drugs, and now they're getting vaccine, and 4 died and 7 are injured. And it's like, and the boosters are just now starting to roll out. Boy, I'll tell you. And here's another thing, you know, for medical exemption here in Ontario, one of the medical exemptions is if you are allergic to something that's in that vaccine, you will receive and you can receive a medical exemption. Well, how do you know that you are allergic to something in that vaccine? Oh, I know. You have to have your first jab, Barry.
Yeah.
Well, excuse me, but I'm not taking a first jab because I don't want to find out. Oh, well, then you're going to lose your job. Well, guess what? I am losing my job. You know, come June 1st, the federal or the provincial election in Ontario is on June 2nd. And my last day will actually be June 1st. And then I'm out of a job. Because of the fact that, and my writing was very, very conservative. And I was going to run one more time, which would have been if we got a majority government and if my party had won, I'd be in the 4 more years and then I would be retiring. I'd say, that's it, I'm done. Thank you very much. But boy, I'll tell you, you know what? The way it's going right now, Barry, I'll be honest with you, I don't think that Doug Ford's going to win in the next election.
Amen. I hope you're right.
And if he does, it'll be a minority government. Because right now we have a lot of what I call sheeples. And you know what that are.
Yeah.
Those are people that act like sheep. And just like we question, how did Trudeau win? Well, the question might be also in the next provincial election in Ontario, how did Doug Ford win?
Yep.
Because people were so up in arms about it. Because I've maintained all along, follow the money.
Absolutely. Rick, the hour's up, buddy. It went very quickly. I'm going to have to let you go here. One last quick thought, and if you'll oblige me, I'll get you back in the near future and we'll continue this conversation. I've enjoyed this immensely. I know my audience has. Okay. One last quick thought from you, Rick, and I'll have to let you go.
Well, again, people need to, again, rally together. As I tell people, you know, from a faith-based perspective, keep looking up. And don't listen to a lot of the negativity that you're going to find on mainstream media, because that's all lies anyway. And don't listen to your neighbor. If your neighbor says, well, I can't associate with you anymore, well, that's their loss, not your loss, and so on. Right. So, again, people need to maintain that positive outlook. There are things that they can do. Like I said, petitions, reach out to your MLAs, get out there, get after it. Never quit. Don't quit. You know, the battle's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. But as Churchill said, we will never, never give in. And we can't do that, not only in our provinces, but in our nation as well.
Thanks, Rick. Absolutely a pleasure having you on. And I'll have to say goodbye. I'll be back in a couple of minutes, guys, with Carrie Simpson. Guys, you got to listen to what Carrie's got to say about what she's doing to push back against the BC government. Pretty courageous lady, and looking forward to this conversation. Thanks, Rick.
Crucified.
Well, welcome back to Third Hour, folks, and thanks again to Rick for coming in. I love talking with that man, and I will get him back here in the near future. He's already messaged me that he wants to get in, so I definitely will have him back. I am joined here by the Third Hour by Kerry Simpson, who is the executive for Culture Guard Canada. I hope I got that right, Kerry, but you know what? I'm going to let you tell people a little bit about yourself before we get into a conversation, and then I'd like to hear what your pet peeve of the week is. Welcome to the show, Kerry.
Thanks, Barry. So these days I'm wearing a number of hats, Barry. Typically, people will know me from my work with Culture Guard, executive director for that organization, and that organization holds government to account. And we typically do it in a way that gets straight to the point, especially if they're veering off the rails of what's in the interest of our society, our community, or our nation. But as we've seen the insanity go on the rise with regard to the COVID issues, I was recruited to head up a campaign for the Canadian Voters Association called 300k.ca. And that was the recruitment of 300,000 Canadians across Canada of like-mindedness with regard to our stand for democracy, liberty, keeping Canada sovereign, and building a people power movement from all walks of life. Just those principles and, of course, keeping government accountable, but probably the most important one that's in that mix is holding the judiciary to account. Most of us that have been fighting cultural wars and trying to bring some semblance of logic to issues know that for a long time the courts have been problematic and have basically been the reason why so many destructive things have been allowed to happen in Canada. The politics of the judiciary, the court party, some people call it, but at the end of the day, what the real problem is that there is no accountability for the judges, and that has to change. So my work with the Canadian Voters Association focuses on that. And now I find myself at the helm of another division of the Canadian Voters Association called Frontline Canada. And that is basically assisting literally tens of thousands of people, Canadians, workers across Canada who are losing their jobs, being fired, being abused, simply because they don't want to engage in an experimental intervention mislabeled as a vaccination. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you over the last 2.5 weeks, we have ramped up that work. We have lawyers working around the clock. I basically live on Zoom these days as, you know, 100 nurses from this area rise up. 15 midwives over here. The teachers are calling. The paramedics are here. The law enforcement agencies. So it's busy on a number of fronts. So I'm trying to juggle a lot of balls and wearing a lot of different hats these days. But at the end of the day, it's Canadians coming together. An amazing, amazing movement, Barry. I'm so impressed with these individuals as they take these courageous stands. The havoc that is being foisted upon their lives is just, abuse is too kind of a word. But that's where we're at in Canada today. So it's incredible from my vantage point to see what is transpiring. But on the other hand, it is awakening a nation of very good people who are taking some strong stands.
I guess my question to you be, when do you sleep?
Not very much. You know, it's the challenge I have, of course, is just keeping up at this point with, you know, being on the Zoom calls to answer the questions, trying to keep our lawyers semi-free because they're writing letters. If people want to go on to frontlinecanada.ca, probably you'll have to do it tomorrow because we're just publishing it today. You can see the letters that are being written to the unions, you know, basically directing them to do their jobs on behalf of these people, their members that expect them to engage in protecting their jobs, the workplace.
Yep. Yep.
And the unions have been just completely silent on these issues for the most part, yet they're the proper frontline defenders of the rights of these people. And it's not like we don't have the science on our side right now. You know, this mass experiment has failed miserably. And if those people who have any inclination to try to apply logic to the vantage and view they're being given has to start questioning our political leadership, that they've messed up. They were tunnel vision focused on one cure, vaccination. They idolize this program, and they don't want to see it fail. They don't want to see it is failing. You know, and it's up to, I guess, us and you and all the other good people that are exposing the truth here, Barry, to give them eyes when they don't want to see.
Well, I'm seeing an uprise in Canada, Carrie, and it's because of people like you and a lot of other people that I have absolute great deals of respect for. Wayne Peters is one of them, what he's doing with What's Up Canada and Ethics Over Fear. There's so many people now starting to stand up in droves. Even in my little town here of Terrace, I'm starting to engage in conversations with people that called me a conspiracy nut, tinfoil hat wearing guys. You're crazy. No, and they used to call me that. It's like, you know, I start talking about stuff that I see coming, and, you know, they're too busy watching the hockey game. They don't care. But what we're going to see now is this really start to impact society when we start seeing our youngsters and our young people die in droves, because that's what's going to happen if they're allowed to go ahead with these vaccine rollouts for children. You're going to see children start, and I hate to see it, but you're going to see children start to die. Is that what it's going to take, Carrie, to wake a lot of these sheeple up? Because it seems like we have a lot of those in Canada. Still, I do see it, though. I do see a lot of positives, and I'm going to focus on them, but I still see a great deal of the population walking right outside with masks on their face. Go ahead.
Well, I think that's probably the tragedy of what has unfolded over Canada over the last 2 years, Barry, is that with the history that we have at our disposal, easy to find out, easy to look up, and history provides example after example after example of what happens when people give up their liberty, when they start just listening to the government without question, when they act out of fear. And, you know, my hat is off to the strategist on the psychology that they imposed upon the citizenry to make this happen. And, you know, I kind of watched it before in a few things. If you remember in 2009, the swine flu pandemic, you know, they threw out some of the same strategy then. You know, we were quick to do the Reject the Inject campaign and a few others, and we're able to sort of stop it pretty quickly in their tracks. But, you know, this boogie monster of a virus, naming it COVID instead of a flu, you know, basically transporting people into a place of unknown territory. At least that was the narrative, even though it's just a bad flu. You know, it was fascinating to watch how easily people complied to the most barbaric of impositions, lockdowns. You can't do this, you can't do that. And they happily just went along with it. It was fascinating. It still is to watch this.
It's a joke, but it's not funny.
No, it's not.
It's called one thing, Carrie, and one thing only. It's called fear.
Yep.
And, you know, fear manipulates people in ways that, unless you're in that state of fear, you don't know what it does to people. But it puts them into a headspace where they basically will listen to anything that's being said to them to alleviate their fear. I mean, Trudeau came out and said, what, 15 days to flatten the curve.
Yeah.
And what are we now? We're in a medically segregated socialist society.
Yeah.
And if people think this is going to go away, Carrie, it's not. I mean, they're drunk with power now. They're sitting in their little boardrooms just laughing their guts at us that Canadians are this easy to roll over. But you know what? We got a surprise for them, Carrie, because like you said, there is so many good Canadians, and I'm going to stay positive, even though some days I feel like we're just up against the wall here. I'll stay positive about my thoughts because I do see a lot of people now starting to get involved, and I'm starting to see people's attitude change. Go ahead.
Yeah, and you know, when they, you know, you talk to people now, and one young man I was talking to, 21 years old, got both shots. And I said, well, why did you do that? And he, typical, you could tell the pride in him. Well, you know, I'm one of those Canadians that, you know, I was good not having it, and I'm good having it. And I said, well, did you have any reaction to it? He said, well, actually, he said, I've lost a lot of strength. You know, 21 years old, I've lost a lot of my strength. And he's a mover. So we've just recently moved our offices. So this is where this conversation took me. And I looked at him and I said, doesn't that piss you off? And you could see like the light almost come on that somebody had given him license to be righteously angry about this. And you know, he just thought, oh, this is just something I have to roll with, right? And I said, well, what are you going to do when they give you the third booster, right? The third shot. He says, oh, I'm not going to do that. So I think we have a lot of people who are looking at this. And, of course, you know, we have long-term care homes here in the Valley, you know, where everybody has been vaccinated, double jabbed, and people are still getting sick with COVID and dying, Barry. So, yep. You know, the experiment is failing. It's how we can get the information out. And I'm happy to say there will be a publicity campaign coming pretty quickly. A number of people have basically a willingness to fund this now, where the nurses, the paramedics, the healthcare, frontline healthcare workers that are seeing what is actually going on in the hospitals are going to be given a voice, and they're going to tell British Columbians and Canadians what is really happening here.
If we could get that information out to the general public, Carrie, you would see an uproar and you would see monumental involvement overnight. People actually knew what the threat to their children are by allowing them to get this jab, then you would see the response we need. I just hope it doesn't get to the point where we're losing children in mass for people to get to that point. I hope that happens before. Go ahead.
What you're doing is
a big part of it. Go ahead, Carrie.
Yeah, Barry, I do too. But any parent who doesn't take the initiative to get truly informed, not just what's handed to them because they're busy and all the rest of it, their child will pay the price. I will say that right now. They are targeting five-year-olds, and they're not looking for your permission, parents. We uncovered a document from the BC Center for Disease Control that basically stated, and this is a direct quote, that they were removing all barriers to allow people to inject children. Now, wait a minute. Don't we have statutes and laws that protect kids and protect parental rights to consent? Yes, we do. It's called the Infants Act. And there is a test in Section 17 that doctors and healthcare providers have to go through to determine whether a child is a mature minor. The NDP government of past years took away an age limit there. So now, basically, if you have some quack that believes a 14-year-old is old enough to consent to having hormone blockers and transition from being a girl to a boy, that is regrettably what is happening, regardless of what the position of the parents are. Same goes for this. So up until September 3rd, Barry, these public health nurses were required to get a risk manager to do an assessment on children to see whether or not they were mature. This is when we were hitting five-year-olds with the jab, with pop-up clinics arriving at their schools, right? Now the BC CDC, in anticipation, now next week, Pfizer has announced that it will be seeking approval from the Canadian government to vaccinate 5 to 11-year-olds, okay, on an emergency basis. There is no emergency, Barry. COVID is not deadly to children unless there's some compromised position. Right. And in BC, we've only lost two children in this age group to COVID, and there were other conditions involved in it. the average child going to school, the overwhelming majority, 99.9% of the kids, COVID is not a danger to them. As a matter of fact, we know now that natural immunity is better than getting vaccinated. It sticks you longer. So why are we jabbing these kids? Why are we injecting an experimental toxic concoction into these precious little children? And more importantly, why would any parent in their right mind, and maybe I have to qualify it, right mind, allow this to happen?
I ask myself that question every day, Carrie. Why can't parents look at what is out there for information now regarding these jabs? If you look, and it doesn't take long on the internet right now, you can find the information that will absolutely astound you. None of it is ever exposed on mainstream media. They are the biggest enemy of the Canadian people now is our media. But anytime a country has been taken over in history, Carrie, you know, the media is controlled. Well, that's what's happening in Canada. They are not exposing Canadians to any of this information. And there's literally thousands of reports I look at all the time coming from all around the world by doctors of great reputation that are screaming at the top of their lungs. But none of that is heard on mainstream. If we could get back and take control of mainstream, we would turn this around overnight, I believe. Go ahead.
I think there's probably going to be a new website making an appearance called rejecttheinject.com. And I think probably next week you're going to start seeing some of these media personalities featured along with some of their comments. So, you know, maybe personal accountability online for the, you know, your willingness to be completely ignorant on the facts associated with what is transpiring, maybe that'll jolt them into some enlightenment and at least a willingness not to be lazy and just adopt whatever government narrative is handed to them on a piece of paper, Barry.
I hope it doesn't take, like I said, mass die-off of children all of a sudden to get people involved in this, Carrie. I'm scared that's going to happen if they're allowed to roll this out with children. You know, what are we going to see and what is the long-term effects on children? I don't even know. I have no idea why a parent would even consider allowing this to happen to the children without doing massive amounts of research into it. And if they do, they're going to say, that ain't going to happen to my children. What's wrong with parents, Carrie? I mean, when I went to school, we had every disease possible known to man. I went through everything. I had chicken pox, I had measles, I had mumps, I had whooping cough, you name it, we had it. But we didn't get injected. We didn't take a vaccine. We built natural immunities in our body, and that's carried me through my life. But that's now been taken away from society completely.
Yeah.
Completely. And it's the most important thing. You know, you're putting a mask on a child. You're telling him to sanitize his hands 18 times a day. Well, the most important thing for a child is to be exposed to bacteria because it builds your immune system. If you take that away from your immune system, it becomes weaker. Then when you are exposed to something that's got a little bit of bite to it, you're there. And it's absolute insanity telling children to avoid germs. We used to play in sand and dirt all day long. I'm still alive, Carrie. Go ahead.
And I agree with you, Barry. I mean, the question people need to ask is, why is Bonnie Henry deliberately making us sick?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
We know that she is compromising the immunity system of every single British Columbian by lockdowns, by doing exactly what you just outlined, keeping the immunity system from not having to work, because that's how you build a strong immunity system, by exactly allowing things to make it work and jump into action and do. The body's an incredibly marvelous machine.
Right.
And she is purposely breaking it down, taking away parts that make it work. And, you know, I've had groups of angry parents. I can tell you, Barry, right now, people power works. There are a number of schools where more than half the student population are not wearing masks because parents cared enough to rally, get together, and hold the administration of these schools to task and said, nope, our children are not wearing these masks, okay?
Yep.
You know, that is what is going to change the direction of this. We have to change the narrative, and hopefully through some of these public service announcements that are coming, that will happen. But people have a responsibility to get informed. And right now, it's not complicated. That's not a hard thing, unless you're one of those people who have bought the lie that the professionals know better. You don't have a say in what really goes because you don't have 17 initials after your name, so you're just going to listen to Dr. Bon Bon or, you know, Jack Jack Boot Bonnie, as I'm calling her these days, right? You know, and this is a person, you know what, I finally broke down and bought her book, Barry, because I had to get a glimpse into the psyche of this person, right? And in the opening salvo of this book, I don't, have you read her book?
No, I haven't, but I can just imagine.
The opening salvo, her sister is writing the intro and they're on some Caribbean island somewhere for, I believe it was New Year's. Outside on the balcony, listening to the waves crash drinking, and suddenly a siren goes off, and it's loud, and I guess it's annoying, and this is, you know, detailed in this book. And Bonnie jumps up and says, I'm calling the front desk to find out what's going on and to make that, you know, silent. It was annoying, right? And Lynn, the sister, goes on talking about how decisive Bonnie has always been through their lives. Well, here's the catch. It wasn't a siren. It was a bloody frog down on the beach. Okay? Now, if Bonnie can't just entertain another source of the annoying noise, you know, she's approached this whole COVID thing the same way. She's fixated on the siren when there isn't a siren. She's fixated on a vaccination program because her history is all about vaccinations. This woman has worked night and day for the majority of her life when she's not buying interest in a winery to make sure that people are vaccinated. She was national chair of Canadian immunization, okay? She lives and breathes needles, all right? Not much else has ever captured her attention, or maybe there's a better way to deal with these things. Now, and please, I hope your listeners know, this is not a vaccination. There's no proven immunization qualities that last like other immunizations, okay? And we need to be talking about immunization. Getting pricked isn't qualified as being immunized, okay? And, you know, this clever, misleading language, weasel-worded ways of, you know, playing on and captivating and taking advantage of people's lack of scientific knowledge on these things is what has allowed this to sort of manifest and fester to the degree that it is. So we really need to start calling her up on these things. And I have a letter. I have given her notice that there is a criminal code provision in Section 122, breach of trust. Public officials do have a duty to you and I and everybody listening to this to act in a manner that is professional and in our interest. And that has not been happening, Barry.
Exactly. I had a look at that letter that you actually wrote, Carrie. I didn't get to read it all, but that was quite a document. Well, do you want to talk about that for a minute, exactly what you're doing with that?
Yeah, well, so there is a provision in the criminal code that people can go and lay private information, okay? We don't need the police or Crown in this case because, of course, they're implicated as well. So what I can do is go to the court, lay what is called the private information, and see what the judge says. And I only have to have a prima facie case. I don't have to present all my evidence or all my experts. I can just go, you know, wait a minute. I can show that these certain public officials, and I'm not going to name the ones that I'm going to take on at my lane of my private information. That will become public after it's done, Barry. But public officials who are in a position of trust, who breach their duty, and part of duty would include giving people all the information, not coercing people into conduct. You know, do you know informed consent has to be free from coercion? Exactly. I can't imagine the lawsuits that are going to prevail when some sanity starts seeping back in and hopefully to our judiciary here sooner or later. when we, you know, these people realize that they've been lied to, that they were misinformed, that they had access to information that was not made public, that yep. they skewed statistics deliberately, and all kinds of things. It just the list of horrors that are a part of this whole scheme, I think will wake up British Columbians pretty quickly, and they're going to feel angry when they find out.
Absolutely. I think you're going to see the court system overwhelmed in the very near future when people actually start understanding how badly they've been scammed with yep. this whole pandemic, Carrie. Yep. I believe that day is coming because I'm starting to see a change in society where people are actually starting to pay attention. They yep. know something's really messed up in Denmark, but they just don't know what to do about it themselves. I hear that all the time. I hear people say to me, well, you know, I know things are messed up, but I'm just one person. What can I do? You know what, folks? You have so much power that if you embrace it properly, you can make a change. Go ahead, Carrie.
Yeah, just go to mycva.ca, so mycva.ca, sign up, and you'll be part of a 100,000-plus movement that's just growing leaps and bounds every day, Barry. People are uniting.
We see all the unions, we see all these organizations forming to protect, you know, the firefighters, the police. The RCMP union came out and made a statement 2 days ago that they're not going to force their members to get vaccinated, even though this government is mandating that they're not going to do that. Yeah. I know if that's true, and I believe it is, I tried to fact check it to make sure it is accurate. But apparently this is what their union came out and made that statement. Well, I'll tell you something, Carrie, if every union in Canada came up and made the same exact statement, this would be shut down overnight. It would be shut down overnight. Go ahead.
So let me tell you what's going on that front, Barry. So to give your listeners encouragement, okay? Number one, I meet with all those various freedom leaders at least once or twice a week, okay? We have Zoom calls where we bring everybody up to date because the Canadian Voters Association is solution-driven, right? Rallies and protests are fine, but at some point there has to be a strategy that is executed that actually brings people together and is in a constructive, effective unit. And certainly we've been successful in doing that. What we're doing with our lawyers now, because union lawyers, you know, I'm going to give them just this little, bit of, you know, sympathy, okay? Because can you imagine being a labor union lawyer and you know labor law and suddenly you're confronted with having to become basically, you know, a medical practitioner of some status to even understand what the hell's going on with all of this stuff. So what we've done, we have a team of lawyers now that are expert on COVID, Barry, and they are working with these union lawyers, saving them from doing a lot of the work. We've done it all for them. The letters that have gone to the unions are 21 pages long, all footnoted, hyperlinked to all the studies that they need, along with an invitation to reach out if they need assistance in these things, okay?
Wow.
And so, you know, that team of ours is just working, you know, these guys are just putting in the time here. So we're not just taking the unions to task. Certainly we're reminding them of their obligations, their contractual right. obligations. And certainly on behalf of the workers, you know, all these workers we're working with, we're also equipping them on how to set themselves up for the best wrongful dismissal lawsuit going. But not only will they have wrongful dismissal lawsuits against their employers, ironically, though, for all the federal and provincial employees, you and I as taxpayers once again get dinged with the screw-ups, right? Because they will, you know, financially be compensated. But these workers also get to go after their unions for failure to meet the obligations that they have through their collective agreements and their contractual obligations to these workers. So,
wow, huge can of worms.
Well, and we're helping them have the best, you know, we're teaching them how to use their video recordings, their voice recorders, how to keep all the emails, how to set up, you know, the person who's going to fire them, all that kind of stuff. So we've got, you know, I said to somebody, it's quite a challenge turning a bunch of nurses who are typically kind, caring, you know, just want to help into warriors, but man, they caught on really quick. So it's cool. It's just, I am so impressed with the courage and the determination of so many people on so many front lines, Barry. It really is heartwarming. I get a front row seat. I get to meet these people every single day. And I'll tell you, Canada is a great nation, and it's worth fighting for. And the people that are standing will be the leaders of tomorrow. So I think there's better days to come, provided that we can all keep, you know, be wise, be discerning, stay safe, be strong, right?
Absolutely. It's a time that we put any differences aside and focus on the main issue. Yep. That is saving this country and what actually going on right now. You know, Canadians have never had the enemy inside the gates of their country, and the enemy's here now. And a lot of people are just starting to wake up to the fact that the enemy is here and the enemy is our government. The more and more people are starting to embrace that. And what we're seeing, I'm seeing a lot of anger in people. Of course, that's a natural reaction when they realize just how badly they're being played. But what you said there a few minutes ago, these people are going to be held to account. I see all kinds of Rick Nichols, the gentleman I had on the last hour here. He's going to be posting up on his website a notice of liability. I know there's other websites that are posting those liability notices right now. They have a lot of teeth to them, just like what you're doing, Kerry. And people just got to take time to look at these and fill them out and give them to the people that are stomping on top of your heads. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I want to say this. I think this is what I predict is going to happen, Barry. I think over the course of this week and early into next, we're going to see the government suddenly realize that our COVID numbers are decreasing, you know, because they can skew the statistics anyway. They know they're in trouble. Let's look at what happened with the churches, for instance. So I was called to two of the churches to confront law enforcement agents when they arrived, because in one case they were being really brutal to this church. I'm happy to say that after I confronted the police on both occasions, they never showed up again at any one of these churches. But these churches were ticketed. They were fined. You know, I put them in touch with the Justice Center for Constitutional Freedom. And away we went to court. And that was, you know, so the three churches, two in the Fraser Valley and one in Chilliwack. Off we go to court, and another case that was sort of mixed in with it was Alan Bourdain, who was the political protester. And Chief Justice Hinkson sat and presided over this case and basically came in and told the attorney general lawyers, like, what are you doing with this political protest? Political protests are perfectly legal. Why are you fining them? Yeah, we know. They didn't even argue. So we know these tactics in a lot of cases are just being used to see how far bully pushing will go. Okay.
Yeah.
So then we had the case of the three churches. Regrettably, Hinkson didn't bother to look at much of the scientific evidence that was there and ruled against them. Of course, we went to immediately Court of Appeal, which we're waiting for our hearing dates there now. But you know what's interesting now? In these latest orders, worship services have no restrictions on them. None.
Imagine that.
Imagine that. Now, what does that tell
us? Kudos to you.
Does that tell us that maybe sensibilities is prevailing at some point in the Attorney General for BC's office, right? And they recognize that maybe they don't have a leg to stand on, right?
Maybe so, more and more people are telling that the pound sand, Kerry.
Well, there is that too. And let's not forget, Barry, we have this wonderful tool here in British Columbia called recall. And we have to just wait a few more months. Yeah, the statute requires us to wait 18 months after the last provincial election. And we can initiate a recall campaign against Premier Horgan.
Oh, boy, I do everything in my power to support that, Kerry. I'd be knocking door to door every night.
Oh, and I think you're going to have a lot of company doing it, Barry. So we already...
Oh, man, that guy's eagle.
Yeah, I've already have bcrecall.com ready to go as we near that date. You know, the people will have their voice. They will have their say. And I don't think Premier Horgan's going to like what he hears.
Well, listen, Carrie, if I can any way, shape, or form help you with this, anytime that you want one of these people to be able to speak on my platform, you just give them my contact information. I will definitely make time for them on the air, because this is what we need to see right now so badly in this country, this kind of pushback. Go ahead. Well,
Barry, the other good news that we have, and again, this is because we have this this power in BC through the recall and initiative, you know, once we get organized enough, and I have enough people in British Columbia to know I can pull this off, we can initiate an initiative. I can make mandatory vaccines illegal tomorrow if we can mobilize 10% of the population in 87 ridings. They have to be registered voters, but as you know from the HST days, you know, the time limits are very, very, very compromise, right? It's a hard haul to do. So you have to be very organized in advance, right? But we can bring in legislation, we can change laws, and we can get rid of laws through the initiative. British Columbians need to know how much power when they are united together with one vision, one heart, we can make things happen. And, you know, the other thing that we really need desperately is whistleblower protection. I have nurses and doctors who want desperately to tell people what's really going on in these hospitals, but they will lose their jobs. Doctors will be immediately before the College of Physicians and Surgeons, like so many of the other doctors, right? Losing their licenses and those kinds of things. Why are we penalizing people who simply want to exercise free speech and inform the public what is really, really happening?
We exactly, need and their doctors to boot. They might just have a little bit more insight to actually what's going on with these jabs. You see what's going on in Quebec right now. They're going to take physicians' licenses away if they don't double jab. Yeah, looking at that link, boy, you're going to see some pushback against that.
And you know what, Barry? The amusing thing is, okay, and this is what I don't get. So we've got like a lot of paramedics. Okay, we already know here in the Lower Mainland. Ambulance drivers, we have a recruitment going on for drivers and drivers. We know our nursing positions. We need more nurses. What are they thinking by firing all these people? Like, you know, for even let's talk and speak to the people who went along with the narrative and double jabbed and all the rest of it. Do you really understand how compromised your health care is going to be? Forget COVID. If all these people, because they're not getting jabbed, you guys. There's thousands of nurses, doctors, paramedics that are not going to compromise their position on this. And I think this is going to be the hard thing for our political leaders to explain, Barry, is they really believed by bribing, bullying, threatening, people would capitulate. I don't think they understand strong Canadians. This is not against, this is not about being an anti-vaxxer. This is about researched, intelligent people who understand the deadly consequences and the potential consequences down the road with this experimental concoction of toxic chemicals.
I'm sorry for laughing, but it's hilarious.
It is.
You know, I have to laugh at this, Carrie, because if I don't, I'm going to lose my mind. But it is. If you wanted to write up a comedy stint, this would be it, you know, because nothing that's going on inside the government makes any sense in any shape or form. No. None. Go ahead.
Have you read some of Bonnie Henry's orders?
Oh, unbelievable. I don't, like, you know. Hey, Carrie, you know what? When I watch that woman talk, I don't know if you feel the same way, but when I look at her face, I see a very evil, evil person talking. I do. She radiates evilness because she is. She is the epitome of evilness. She knows exactly what she's doing to the people. She has no doubt at all what's going on inside people right now because of all these different things that have been brought into our society. She's fully aware of that, and she's continuing to perpetrate that. I just called her very evil, Carrie, in my opinion. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, there's a good saying, you know, by the fruit you will know them, right? And you know, what is she spreading, right? She's spreading fear. She's spreading mental health problems. She's deliberately making people sick. She's now subjecting children to an experiment. I mean, even if you wanted to give her the benefit of the doubt, nobody's that stupid, Barry.
I know.
And so what other conclusions are we left to? And you know, I think this is a reality check for people right now. There are those that think that there's way too many people on planet Earth. You know, one of them happens to be Mayor in Nanaimo. I still have in my files a letter he wrote many, many years ago, complaining, you know, that I think parents were upset over them bringing all the pro-homosexual without telling parent nonsense into the schools.
Right.
He wrote to his constituents saying, because he was an MLA for the NDP back then, the real problem facing the world today is overpopulation. And anybody who has two or more children, you know, somehow unjustly thinks they're entitled to more of the planet resources. This isn't right and this isn't fair. I actually will publish that letter here pretty quick. Because this is the thinking of some of these people that are in positions of power. Oh, the greater good. Kill off how many people, right? The human brain's ability to justify evil is quite impressive sometimes, right? So
it is.
Yep. We don't have the benefit of being naive. We don't have the benefit right now of not being informed. Canadians, responsible Canadians, have a duty to themselves, to their families, to their children, and to our nation to get informed and not just believe the noisy narrative that just keeps pumping into their ear, closing their eyes and putting them to sleep. Wake up, people.
Yeah, if we don't wake them up, Carrie, then we've got a big problem on our hands. But I think we're seeing the shift that we need right now in society. I really do. I'm going to stay positive. Even though I see so much negativity around me right now, I'm going to stay positive.
I see groups like
you are doing right now, and this is inspiring what you told me today, Carrie. Go ahead.
You're going to laugh at this because, you know, I've been doing this quite a while. So in the chaos of moving our office, you know, there's always opportunity to get organized, especially because you find things that you haven't seen for years. I found a brochure we published in the year 2000, Barry. And guess what was on it? The Human Rights Act, the Infants Act, and the Emergency Program Act for BC, where I said, wake up, people. This gives the government the right to do whatever it wants to do to you, right? I found that brochure, and I just laughed. So I was warning people about the Infants Act and the Emergency Program Act in the year 2000. And, you know, it takes something like this. COVID has been a great opportunity. It has ignited this democratic awakening. Here's my fear, though, Barry, as I do believe over the next few weeks, we are going to see the backing down of politicians and this move that to force everybody into this state. They've already made great progress. They've got people used to vaccination passports. They'll go, oh, we don't need them now. And everybody will be lulled into this sense, oh, we survived this. The government did everything right. And now we're free to travel and we have our freedom and liberties back and the sacrifices we made. We're just great because look at how good we are. Well,
exactly.
You know, that's my fear. And what my next great fear is that people will forget. And next time they hit us with this, all those that have been trained in their compliance will jump into fast mode action. And then we will see a really, really dangerous event start to take place. So that's what I sense. So our job, Barry, is not only to keep talking truth and exposing what is really, truly going on in this day and age, but also to keep those groups together, keep the public information happening. You know, people have to start taking seriously when Trudeau says, you know, the Great Reset – Do you want your nation handed over to a global committee where you don't have a say? I mean, Canada of all places, we are the richest nation, not only in resources, water, forestry, minerals, but we have great people. You know, what are you willing to sacrifice at this point to keep our nation sovereign? So there's the work is just begun, my friend.
We got a battle on our hands, Carrie. There's no doubt about that. But we'll stay positive. We are going to win this. We don't have a choice. If we lose this, then we lose it all. And as long as I've got a breath in my body, I'll do everything I can to put a stop to this. And I know you will, too.
Yep.
My call out today, Carrie, I guess would be to Canadians that seem to be lacking, for the better word, testicles. Okay, because we need Canadian men right now to stand up, to look at this, look themselves in the mirror and say, hey, you know, what is going on in our country and what are the ramifications? We talked about a few of them today, but this is real. This is not going to go away, Carrie. These guys are absolute maniacs. The only way this is going to ever stop is if we rise in mass and put a stop to it. And boy, I tell you, we need to do that right now, folks. So grow a pair, guys, and get involved. Go ahead, Carrie.
Yeah, use your voices, you know, and we're giving people the opportunity, you know, on a few hours' notice, Barry. I had 30 students from Trinity Western University arrive in my office, okay? They were arriving for their first day of school. When they got to campus, so just picture this. Okay, number one, this is a supposedly Christian university. You send your kids there because it's supposedly safe, has different standards, has a caring community, etc. Your 18-year-old daughter who's away for the first time, you live in Ontario. She's come all the way out here to BC, gets at the school, and they present a form for her to sign called the Student Agreement. And that agreement says that you will abide by all the health orders of Bonnie Henry that are issued today and to come. Okay? Like, well, how, number one, if the student intellect is that lacking that these kids would sign their rights away and say, okay, if Bonnie Henry orders me to cut my legs off, I've already agreed to do that, right? Mm. Okay, so this is something that's terribly lacking at the admin level of Trinity Western. Anyway, this forum goes on, you know, basically trying to get everybody double vaxxed and all the rest of it. So a number of these kids are pretty smart, and they refuse to sign this thing, and they refuse to get double vaxxed. Of course, there is a vaccination clinic already on campus to convenience all of this, right? So when these students refuse to do this, suddenly they're denied their dorm room keys. They're denied their meal vouchers, Barry, okay? And I start getting calls. Like, and I don't know how people always track me down. I find that amazing. Like, if you have a problem, Carrie will help you. Anyway, next thing you know, there's 30 of these kids in my office. Rebel Media is in attendance. And between finding housing and food and transportation for these kids and dealing with all their irate parents, I was met with 30 of the most awesome leaders of tomorrow that you could ever hope for, Barry. These kids, their spokespeople, they got this. And, you know, maybe the irony is here is that we've raised generations now. I have a right to this. I have a right to that. They take their rights very seriously. And, man, they have been a force to be reckoned with. And that's what gives me hope. You know, there's no... We don't have the luxury of not being positive in our thinking. To be anything else would be illegal, Barry. You know, out of this will come some many, many good things as long as good people take that stand. And you're right. We need more men on the front lines. But that is happening. There's a lot of good stuff happening.
I know there is, Carrie. I'm part and parcel to it every week here. I see all kinds of people all of a sudden getting involved. I see the groups growing in numbers exponentially.
Yeah.
It's necessary at this point because people are starting to really understand that this is a direct threat to everything that we value and cherish in life, everything that we call dear in life is being taken away from us. And we're not going to allow that to happen, Carrie. We're just not going to let that happen.
You know, and I look at all these young families, you know, and I said, you know, the big challenge I have is people don't want to believe it, even though this is all unfolding them before them. You know, they.
Yeah, I know. They're just cognitively ignorant.
Yeah. Well, if I just present this information, won't they listen to me? Right. I said, no, you know, look at where we're at for what it is and govern yourself accordingly. Right. You know, and we are in a battle for the nation. We are in a battle for the future for our children. And for these parents who just want to be wishy-washy, what next? What kind of future do you want for your kids, right? What about all the people who went along and got double vaccinated, and now they're going to insist on you getting jab 3 and jab 4? Like, at what point do you say, I was lied to, I was misinformed, you told me this would work. Well, wait a minute. You also told me we would flatten the curve in 2 weeks. Herd immunity would be at 65%. You know, the lies just keep compounding on this. And at some point, that compounding amount of lies has got to weigh into the brainwaves of these people, and they get to say enough is enough. And I think we're going to have, you know what, we've had the first wave. I think we're going to have the second wave of Canadians who bought into the narrative are now going to say, you lied to me, and they're going to come stand with us as well. So, you know, on that front, we've got a lot of things going good. And that momentum, as you said, Barry, is building.
It is. And it's what keeps me going every day. You know, I still have people that I talk to. One gentleman was bragging about the fact that he's going to get his booster here next week. And I'm just, you know, no matter how much information, it seems to me that no matter how much information I put in front of people, some people will never, ever be able to accept it. On the same mouthful, a lot of people are starting to look into things. I challenge people all the time, Carrie, don't listen to me. Just go look at some of these stats that are out there and are available to you. If you go look at it and then ask yourself if any of this makes any sense, especially what you just said early in the show about children, actually. People or children that they can actually say died from this, but you know, they had comorbidity factors. There's basically, this doesn't have any effect on children at all. None. Zero.
It's beneficial to get COVID.
Yeah, germs. Germs are important, man. You want to go eat dirt, man. You want to put that bacteria in your body. That's the best thing you can do for a child. Not give them hand sanitizer and put a mask on them. Get a little bit of hypoxia. I mean, come on, guys. You're doing permanent neurological damage to your children. Go listen to some of these top doctors in the world talk about the effects of putting a mask on a child and then put a mask on your child, and I'll have you charged for child abuse, Carrie, because it's insanity.
I know.
It is. I mean, well, come on, guys. I've gone to every site about on these masks, Carrie. I've looked at every one of the websites, and none of them will state that it can stop a pathogen, that this virus is 0.007 microns wide, about 1/10,000th of an inch. It's like trying to stop a mosquito with a chain link fence, and you want to put a mask on a child that's going to cause them to rebreathe their own carbon monoxide, reduce their oxygen intake, and bacteria grows in these masks. They're taking that into their lungs, and this is what you want to do to your kids. Carrie, somebody tell me I woke up in a wackadoodle world. We've got to stop this, man, because that's insanity. The damage you're doing to our children, folks, we'll see this, the results of this, for years and years to come if we don't put a stop to this. Carrie, go ahead.
I was in a meeting with the gal who started Free the Children, right? Like, keep the mask free. And she was sharing with me the instance that propelled her into becoming an activist. You know, like this was, it's funny to hear people's stories. They go from this nice, quiet life of just doing what they do, and suddenly they're frontline, enough is enough. And her moment was she was in a playground with her, I think, aunt or something, and the aunt's son came running up. He was probably 3 years old, if I remember, 3 to 5. And the kids were running and running and running, and he came running over to his mom, and he says, I can't breathe. And the mom took his mask off and says, oh, you need a breathing break.
Carrie, you know what? This hour has gone by us already. I can't believe how fast this hour went. I'm going to give you a minute or two here to tell people where they can find you in the last thoughts, and hopefully you'll oblige me and let me have you back here in the near future.
Well, I'm always willing to come back, Barry. I thank you for all your good work and your listeners' good work. And what I hope people take out of this is we all have a responsibility to step up to that front line. As I tell people every night on these Zoom calls with hundreds and hundreds of people across the country, you know, we can only do so much. You have to take initiative too. So please sign up, go to mycva.ca, sign up, bring 10 people. That's the most important thing. And then tell them to bring 10 people. We have to continue to build this movement of people power, united in voice, united in value as consumers, and uniting our votes, whether it be the municipal elections, provincial or federal. And together, we will keep Canada safe and we will restore our nation along with the freedoms and liberties and valuing democracy once again.
God bless you, Carrie, for what you're doing, and thanks for coming in. You've inspired me today, and I'm sure you've inspired people that have been listening to this conversation. Much kudos and much appreciation. You know, we've talked about a lot of things today, folks, and there's times I sit back here and tears start rolling down my face when I see what's going on in our society and some of the things we talk about. If that ever happens when I'm talking, you'll just have to excuse me, because it really it touches my heart when I see what's going on. And I just praise people like Carrie and Roger and Rick and everybody else that's involved right now putting a stop to this madness. There's nothing more important in our lives right now to put a stop to this. Our children are being destroyed, and we must not allow that to happen in our society. So that being said, folks, thanks for joining in this week. I'll be back next week, same time, same place. I've already got some really cool guests coming in next week, so I look forward to having you guys back and having a little bit of a conversation with you. Thanks again, Carrie, for coming in. Thanks for everybody joining today, and I will be back next week. God bless you, and bye for now.